This is Tim Murdoch. You're watching White Rabbit Radio for Friday, May 16th. It is warm out. Now it's going to get cool for a week or two. That's how it goes. Hopefully you guys are doing okay out there. I'm doing okay. What do we got? We got my earbuds in the way. My earbud cord. It is a Friday afternoon. We got Jack the Cripper. We got Desi Mac. Yeah, you guys hit the like button. I don't know. I hate saying stuff like that. It's like, why even bother saying hit the like button? But it's like, you should hit the like button. Should at least hit the like button. Doesn't take that much. Or maybe I guess you should watch the stream first. If you like it, hit the like button maybe. Oh, man. Let's see what you guys are sending in. My thoughts on gamer streamers. I think it's like the sign of the times. It seems like some are really good. You kind of have the stereotype of a guy that makes money gaming as a streamer has to be really good. But in reality, a percentage are really good. And a lot of them that do well are just have some kind of entertaining personality that people like to watch. Like the one you sent in, Hollywood Bob, I don't think he's that, like, great. You know, I think if I were to play PUBG for, let's say, the next 700 hours, 1,000 hours, I might eventually be proficient at it. And if you're proficient at a game and stream it, there you go. As far as iHypocrite, I haven't caught any of his gaming streams. He is streaming. I mean, Hollywood Bob is live. See, these guys were generally confined to Twitch, but now you can stream on YouTube as well. Which is a big deal. Twitch would say if you're going to make money on Twitch as a Twitch partner, you could only stream on Twitch. And now they're saying they just couldn't carry on that business model that you're allowed to stream anywhere. But, you know, I think that in like this guy's case, and I'm sure there's plenty of others, you're playing an older game, PUBG, which maybe they'll revitalize, maybe they won't. It still has a cult following.
That's right.
I mean, no. I checked. He has like 1,500 between YouTube and Twitch. He's got a couple thousand viewers, maybe 1,500, 2,000. That's a lot for a Friday afternoon, I would think. 100,000 followers on Twitch makes maybe 80 to 100,000 streaming. During the heydays of PUBG, I'm sure they made a fortune, but I don't know. The one downside is you're playing a game, and it's like it becomes like a virtual prison because everyone wants to see you play this game. That's nostalgic. But at the same time, he doesn't play any other games. That's the downside to it. You don't have, like, different news events to go over or anything else. You're playing one game for the rest of your life. That's rough. That's rough. Now, there are other guys that go off and do other things, you know, so that's pretty wild. Gamer streamers. I mean, some of the guys, like, what is it, Shroud? Shroud plays whatever he feels like playing. But you remember when he first went from PUBG, which was huge, they're like, well, I want to play other things. And Choco Taco and those guys started doing that and didn't do so well playing other games. iHypocrite said some cucky things recently. I don't remember what it was, though. Really? Well, iHypocrite, you know, he's all over the place. I don't pay attention to everything he says. I think generally he probably gets the basics correct. But, you know, you're dealing with a variety of different personalities that are all moving in one direction. Matt Walsh said some really cucky things just 5 years ago, and he's a radically different animal. And these guys really don't have a choice, Aachen, man. You got to go down this path. Nick Fuentes, I remember, where's Global Chat? Global Chat had a video up of Nick Fuentes saying some the nicest things about, like, working class white guys I've ever heard him say. You know, but you have to, I don't know, you're going to have to be a white nationalist. You're going to have to be something really close. Let's watch this. Let's get the party started. We got all kinds of stuff lined up. It's Friday afternoon. It's kind of slow, but it isn't slow on my end because we got all kinds of stuff to go over. I just did a landscaping project. I got some deals on some plants, and so I redid a whole section of landscaping, which I can do pretty proficiently. The challenge was that no sooner that I got mulch, which, like, there's, like, the screaming sales, like the Memorial Day sale on mulch, right? So you get the screaming sale of mulch. I get the mulch down, and this one of these trees, one of these oak trees, gives off like a billion little swindly things, which I knew was going to happen. But oh man, it's work, work, work. Hopefully none of you guys are experiencing any of that, but it is what it is. Let's check out this midget shooting a huge gun. What is this, a 45, 44 cannon? Oh, that's scary. I'd be amazed if someone didn't get hurt. Hit him right in the head. He could not even hold the pistol. Is this a midget or a dwarf Mexican, or is this just like a short Mexican? Okay, they're speaking in Spanish. This is Mexicans. It's crazy dangerous. Wouldn't be there with them. Speaking of dangerous, you're a waitress, you're carrying a load of plates, and in walks a black guy. Heavy set black guy. You have a waitress and you have a full deck of plates on platter, on a giant platter. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven plates, various different things. You're cruising out to help out your customers, and a giant black guy walks through the door and he just doesn't give a shit. He flips over. He didn't even hit it, actually. He flips over. Flips her tray right over. Oh, I had a tray in two hands. Had another tray with the same thing on it. Look at this guy. Yeah, shit. Oh, man. Blacks are not well liked, that's for sure. Let's see, Germany is locking its citizens in again. We'll see what Martin Sellner has to say. See what's cooking with Martin Sellner.
Released from the German police. And it's not Italy after all, it's the German state. And I'm not in danger, so this video about me being arrested and detained, well, no, it's the German state. Not Italy, the German state. And I just want to make this video because I just want to conclude what I started with the first one. Six young German boys and two girls, I know them, they are great guys, GI activists, have been detained for hours by the German police. They were arrested at the airport in Munich. Two of them were even arrested in the plane when they tried to enter a plane to Milan, Italy, to attend a conference about remigration. And the German state now bans them from exiting Germany for several days until the conference is over. Bans them from exiting. They banned me from entering, and then they threw me out of several cities and basically crushed my readings.
This is this remigration rally, basically forbidding people to go. What's up, Aaron White?
And now they're banning their own citizens, EU citizens, from exiting. And the reason is crazy to say it would be detrimental to the German state, the reputation of the German state, if they would go outside and take part in those events, but because this would look like as if the German state would endorse those events. So if German patriots go to a patriot conference, the German state says, no, you are our property, and it's our property, our citizens. If you go there, it's bad for our reputation. That's why we lock you in like a nasty little children. The German state is going full GDR. That's exactly what the GDR did with the Berlin Wall. They didn't let their own citizens leave the country, and that's here the case right now. It would be now punishable by law if they try to exit to Italy, Austria, and Switzerland. They're banned from going to Switzerland, Austria, and Italy for a certain amount of days. The German state can extend this at will. Of course, they will take immediate legal measures. They have very good lawyers. You need good lawyers in Germany. If you're an activist, if you're posting memes on X, you need an excellent lawyer by now. But it's really crazy. These laws exist, but they have been lying dormant for a while, and now the German state is shutting down, switching off the democracy simulation, and
Democracy simulation.
moving up and activating the totalitarian mode, the GDR mode. By the way, those activists now have to sign up daily, check in daily between 5 and 8 p.m. at the local police station. If not, they have to pay 100 euros on top of that.
Damn.
If they try to exit now, the Germans say it would stop them with force, lethal force in the worst case, and then they would go in front of a judge because they've committed a crime. That's the state of Germany. Completely crazy. Completely crazy. I hope we can defeat this and they still can come to Milan to the immigration summit. Still 2 days left. But I'm here to stay and we are here to stay and we will try everything in our power to make the summit happen. And all of this crazy repression, also the cancellation in Italy, all of this will fuel our fight, will fuel our people.
I wonder if someone on the inside isn't trying to help getting it noticed more by doing this over-the-top stuff. It's kind of so difficult with Germany because this is typically what Germany does. We have another thing from Naomi Seat on this. A rogue employee was behind Grok's unprompted white genocide mentions. Oh, wow. Well, Musk is chiming in on the whole entire South African situation and racial justice, asking the President Ramaphosa of South Africa was saying, and I have this in the lineup, that the whites were trying to escape racial justice. And he was like, what do they mean by racial justice? And, you know, how do they define that? So, you know, he knows what's up. He's just playing games, whatever, with whatever he has to play games with. We could all speculate on who all. Musk, who owns XAI and currently serves as top White House advisors, was born and raised in South Africa. All right. The company said the unauthorized modification at extremely early morning hour Pacific time pushed the AI-imbued chatbot to provide a specific response on a political topic that violates XAI's policies. Okay. Well, AI keeps coming back to the fact that race is real and they don't even understand how it's doing that. So there's a lot of things that's going to be going on with AI. I don't know. I don't know about any of these people. Let's listen to Naomi here. She's a lot better looking than Martin Selner. We'll see what this the conservative of Germany. Eight Germans were detained at an airport to ban them from attending remigration study summit. The official reason they would damage the reputation of the Federal Republic. Famous speakers include Eva Villar, Martin Selner, and... Okay. Who is this? Have I heard of this person? Deutschland Courier? Okay. Someone that's a big deal. All right. Let's check this out here.
Attending the Remigration Summit, which hosts some very famous international speakers, each representing their homeland, such as the beautiful Eva Vladingerberg, representing the Netherlands, of course, and my good friend Martin Selner from Austria. However, Germany's state decided to detain our representation at the airport and not allow them to attend in fear that they would damage the reputation of the German Federal Republic. Yes, that's insane, but it's an actual quote from the police document. Now these eight Germans have to report to the police.
No, Grok was validating white genocide. That was the problem.
Daily between 5 a.m. and 8 p.m. Like they're criminals on parole, but with no previous trial. And if they miss a check-in, they face a 1,000 euro fine or even jail if they refuse to pay.
Die Bundesrepublik verkommt mehr und mehr zum Freiluftgefängnis. Ich hab's gerade noch rausgeschafft und grüße von einem unbekannten Ort in Italien. Meine Freunde, die genauso wie ich den Remigration Summit besuchen wollten, hatten leider weniger Glück und mussten sich am Flughafen wie Schwerkriminelle behandeln lassen. Sie wurden abgeführt und teilweise sogar noch aus dem Flugzeug gezogen. Die Begründung dabei ist an Lächerlichkeit nicht zu überbieten. Sie könnten durch ihre Reise das Ansehen der Bundesrepublik Deutschland beschädigen. Das Einzige, was das Ansehen der BRD beschädigt, ist das zunehmend totalitäre Gebaren seiner Politiker. In der Begründung heißt es, dass die Veranstaltung dazu dienen könnte, finanzielle Mittel zu erschließen für die Rekrutierung und Unterstützung der Szene und für ideologische Zwecke genutzt werden könnte. Also genau das, was jede professionell organisierte Opposition tun würde. Und genau darum geht es. Sie fürchten um ihre Macht, nicht um das Ansehen der BRD. Eine ähnliche Veranstaltung in Schwaben.
You'd have to read this here. Hold on here. Let's see. Basically, this is someone that escaped and was sitting in Italy from an undisclosed location.
Free. To stop them from exposing the truth about failed mass migration all across Europe. We see the consequences every day, and they are harrowing. And now history is repeating itself, and it's even more chilling.
It's taking down the Berlin Wall.
While the German government locks up its own people, it's been rolling out the red carpet for more Afghan migrants, despite them having the highest crime rates across all demographics of immigrants. The Remigration Summit was about discussing solutions, like remigration, to protect our citizens once and for all. But the German government doesn't want that. It doesn't want us to have the conversation that we need. Because they would rather chain us down, fine us, lock us up, and then pretend to offer the solution themselves. And this is precisely why I cannot return to Germany, because I know that with...
Oh, where's she at? She's not in Germany, chat.
My impact, they wouldn't want to let me leave again.
Remigration. This word has become the hope of our entire continent.
It is the answer to the failures of multiculturalism.
It is our only chance to save
a new generation.
Are they going to be able to remigrate? Well, you're fighting a lot of different things. It's the end of an age. Let's just say that. We'll have to see. Hopefully.
I want all the cowards that work for ICE to know, if you show up trying to mess with me, this is what you want all the cowards that work for ICE to know, if you show up trying to mess with me, this is what you're riding home in. I promise, whatever Proud Boy got deputy ties that day, it's gonna be the worst day of your life. This is what you riding home in. I promise you. ICE better leave me alone.
He's got light eyes. Some Mexican, some white-akin. A lot of white in him. He's got what, green or blue eyes?
And all the cowards that work for ICE to know, if you show up trying to mess with me, this is what you're riding home in. I promise, whatever Proud Boy got deputy ties that day...
Proud Boy got deputy ties.
It's gonna be the worst day of your life. This is what you're riding home in. I promise you. ICE better leave me...
ICE better leave him alone. All right. Here we got the goods. You know you're grocery stopping, and it's a Trader Joe's. You're at Trader Joe's, and you're safe company. The Trader Joe's are complaining about this. Someone took a picture of this and was going crazy on social media. Half-breed Grendel? Yeah, it's got to be. I was just surprised he had light eyes. I was trying to figure out what his deal was. The way he looks, I mean, might never even show up for him. These guys running their mouths on social media. This is funny. Some lady, probably a Mexican, this is out in Mission Valley, took a picture of this and blasted it everywhere. White pride with a swastika. This a white woman. Shopping in the right place. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, California, thank you, Trader Joe's in Mission Valley, for swiftly removing this neon Nazi after she made shoppers uncomfortable with her giant swastika tattoo and white pride. All right. White, that's my wife. She don't look like a crackhead. Well, oh no, she looks like a woman shopping at Trader Joe's. I've never been to Trader Joe's. Any of you guys shop at Trader Joe's? None of them like really close to me. They got some good deals at Trader Joe's. Yeah, I'll have to tweet out that picture. We do have something kind of entertaining. This was coming across my feed. Patrick Casey, Bronze Age Mantis, Bronze Age Pervert. All right, on X, BAP's origin story. What was Twitter like before 2016? How has right-wing Twitter changed over the years? Is the term dissident right useful at this point? How Twitter has gotten dumber? BAP calls a few people out. We're going to hear him call people out. Coal is the price we pay for free speech. The trad wife question. Don't go to college, and the problem with giving generic advice. Okay.
Well, right. I must have been online for, what is it now, 25. So it's close to 20 years, maybe 18 years, 17 years or so since 2006, 2007. Before that, I was sometimes also trolling. For example, I would go to Islamic forums and I would say I'm Ismaili, you know, this unusual sect that they used to be the assassins, something like that. Right. Now they're extreme antinomian sect, and I would say the blood of Ali and the.
Okay, this is Origen. So he got his start at the time. We were trolling with Bob Whitaker, the original group that was trolling the white genocide stuff or seeding it out there. He got started at the same time, but he was trolling Muslims. All right, hold on here. What was Twitter like before 2016? It was totally different, actually. But hold on here.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in what Twitter was like back then. I made a Twitter account in late 2015, and that was kind of when the... I guess you could say the Trump and sort of the alt-right, although, you know, no one really calls himself that for good reason these days. But, you know, that was when there was this new wave of sort of energy and new people coming in on Twitter. But, you know, talking to people who were on the site before, it was different before. I get the impression that early Twitter was pretty kind of NRX. That was more sort of the scene. Is that an accurate assessment of things, or what was it like before sort of the 2016 influx?
Well, by NRX you mean neo-reaction, yes?
Yeah, just people who were into that sort of stuff, you know, on not, average.
Not for me. That was not, I didn't know what that was until very late. I come from different side of things. I was never, when I say on forums, I was on quite hard right forums and not really so much into neo-reaction, which I know was active also in the 2000s or so. But yes, there were neo-reactionaries now that you mentioned it before 2015.
But that wasn't like the dominant thing on Twitter. Whoever told me that might be a little mistaken in that case.
I don't think it was dominant. Yeah. It definitely was. There were a lot. Now that you mention it, there was Niduraku, I don't know what you call him, and quite some other posters. Now that you're bringing it up, they're coming to mind, but that was not really my...
That's when 2013, 2014, 2015, the height of Twitter for like pro-whites prior to Trump would have been like the White Man March when the white genocide was trending and stuff like that. Twitter was like crazy then. Anti-racist Hitler had his own Twitter account. It was run by the famous Stanley Stinks, who had one of the largest pro-white Twitter accounts and a massive like social media following. But he was running the anti-racist Hitler Twitter account. It had like 20,000. I had like 5,000. The anti-racist Hitler had like 20,000. He's trolling rabbis and stuff. That was all in this particular time period. But that's nothing you kids know about how Twitter has gotten dumber. Well, that's definitely true. Is the term useful? Dissident right. Let's hear this. How is right-wing Twitter? Okay, hold on here. Let's scan through this.
Very interesting. We can talk a little bit later about the way Twitter is... maybe this is a good time. So I'm curious how Twitter has changed over the years for you, I guess, going back almost about a decade at this point. I mean, there's still... Right-wing Twitter, at least in my view, from just going back to 2016, has gotten dumber, but... I think that's just because it's largely grown. I don't feel like the smart parts of right-wing Twitter have shrunk. Yeah. It's just that there are, black teenagers deciding that they want to be neo-Nazis, and that's like something that you're aware of. You know, they're calling you Jewish in the replies because, yeah, why is this white boy, you know, tweeting about immigration, man? He should be tweeting about, you know, the Gaza genocide or something. So, but even just scrolling out even further, would you say that Twitter back pre-2016 was that like pretty highbrow aristocratic posting, and then it's just been, you know, for better or worse, kind of downhill IQ wise, more stupid people? What is that trajectory looked like for you?
I don't think it was ever so-called aristocratic or highbrow. Okay. It's a mass communication medium. I went on it knowing that's what it is.
He's right on that, mass communication medium.
Yep. I went on it because people were using it, as I say, for riot organization against the French police. I never saw Twitter as some kind of highbrow thing. That, you know, you can do that on 4.
Orkin, man, he's been around a long time. I know all about him. I mean, as far as that opinion. I'm just curious to hear some of his responses. And I'm actually surprised Casey had him on, Patrick Casey. But maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe that's his crew. I don't know.
Forums, you can do that in private with friends. You don't need to.
Yeah, BAP is Bronze Age Pervert is Jewish, but like Romanian Jewish.
Twitter to do that in public. And in fact, I found some posters, I don't want to say that name, maybe quite pretentious when only post literature or this kind. It's supposed to be a fun forum and so on. But there's, I think, since we're talking this now, I should say there's a clear separation, especially since 2016-17, between posters who are there to have fun, which I always came online to have fun, and then posters who are there for a mission, to have a career or to make a media career or because they have some other kind of mission they want to push. And it's very easy, I think, for a middling to above middling audience even to see through this quite fast. This poster, I used to make the distinction between face fag and anons, because it was mostly, not always, it was mostly accurate. But that's not really hold anymore, because now there are many people who use face who are there because they actually believe in something or they want to have fun or so on. And then there are people who are starkly careerist and make it boring and so on. And I think, problem in recent years since Elon took over is this element that's very self-interested and very engagement focus, But look, we're talking about many things at the same time. You were asking me about 2015 and before. I'm happy to talk about that. It was a fun time. This is when Frog Twitter got made, I think around 2014-15. I was invited. Frog Twitter does not refer to the all of the anonymous right. It was a small chat group. It included Menaco.
Okay. Who is he calling people out? How Twitter got dumber. But he's right on that. It's a mass communication forum. It's a platform. It's a platform to have fun. Some people have taken it very serious, especially the people in charge. But you can do a lot with a platform that you're supposed to have fun on.
Look, I'm drinking, so I'll get personal. You can edit this out if you don't like.
Yeah, that's fine.
But when I see this guy, Eric Weinstein, is that his name, or am I confusing him with the
Eric Weinstein's the IDW guy?
Okay, I'm not confusing him with the Hollywood director with the Me Too thing. That's
Harvey.
Anyway, this guy Eric Weinstein, and then he has a super long post on Twitter, which should not be allowed, by the way. We should go back to word limits on Twitter. Yeah. And he's like, my friend Daryl whatever Martyr man.
I haven't heard him mention TRS in any way, shape, manner, form, or Fuentes yet. I'm thinking that's who he's going to talk about right here, maybe.
But we disagree.
I don't know when TRS started making content. I remember when they were on Renegade Broadcasting, and then they went on their own. I forget what Johnny's story was, and when he got involved. I forget. You know, I've been around so. We started posting in 2005, 2006, ramping things up. The first podcast I did was in 2009. My Twitter account goes back to the same time period. I still have the same account. It's just been closed down several times. I got it back, but it goes to 2009 when I did the first podcast. TRS was already podcasting in 2015. Yeah, I don't know when they first started podcasting. I don't know when I first heard them on Renegade Broadcasting. I don't know if it was 2013, 2014. I don't know. Somewhere in that area. I mean, they've been around 10 years, 12 years or something like that.
And it's like these two people are idiots.
I mean, they go to some kind of Facebook forum prior to that, right?
And why do I have to know about their personal history and the pretense that they are major intellectual lights of our time? And here they're having an argument. And which side are you on? Are you on Eric Weinstein or are you on whatever right. Daryl Martin made? Yeah. And these two people are stupider than the people who wrote for Weekly Standard, okay? And the problem with what someone like Martin made says is he take argument that I used to have, for example, with Thomas Seven on various forums.
See, I don't know if, Bronze Age pervert, I don't know if this accent he does is real or if it's fake. Because, I mean, he's Romanian Jewish. Is this accent real or fake? Because he has this other fake language that's like a little kid language or something he does on Twitter.
And things about World War II, okay? And he repeats them in a stupid way, arguments from Ernst Nolte. In a way such that if he was to get into a public debate with someone who knew the history involved, he would get, as people say now, destroyed. He would get one-shotted. And he's giving these arguments to others.
And, you know, some of these cases, I think Sneeko is just kind of one example. Not that I have, like...
I think that's a bad development. It happened maybe organically, but right. it become a kind of agree and amplify ghetto. If I was the left, I would want idiots like I Hypocrite and Candace Owens and Martyr Maid to be the face of the right, which is...
Okay, so he calls out I Hypocrite. Hold on.
...ghetto and smeared in a kind of... agree and amplify ghetto. You see what I'm saying? If yeah. it doesn't need to be. It's I'm not saying it's like a conspiracy. It happened maybe organically, but
right.
it become a kind of agree and amplify ghetto. If I was the left, I would want idiots like I Hypocrite and Candace Owens and Martyr Maid to be the face of the right, which is what Elon Twitter is doing. Even if it's on 20,000 Pakistani retweets, okay? But it's what it's achieving. And I don't know. I think that's a bad development, but whatever.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And in some case, to some extent, it's the price we pay for free speech. I mean, it's... I think you could get rid of a lot of these Kohlers, right? Even a lot of these, you know, there are a lot of bad posters on Twitter that, you know, bad actors whom... I'm not supporting them being banned for just being bad posters. Like, we obviously support platform access and so forth. But a lot of this, you know, the bot networks and so forth, it's like 100% true. And, you know, some of these cases, I think Sneeko is just kind of one example. Not that I have like a huge personal grievance against the guy, but as proof that people kind of in that part of Twitter do actually, he was on stream and he showed his Google history, and one of it was sites on where you can buy Twitter. It was Twitter likes and retweets. And that was crazy to me because I had assumed that stuff happened. But I just kind of assumed that it was like, well, you have to be in touch with, like, you know, some like weird network that's going to boost your stuff. But like, no, you can literally, and I'm not encouraging anyone to do this, obviously, but you can like just straight up put in your credit card on a website and get like 1,000 retweets. And I don't remember from what I saw, it was not like that expensive either. So it's like for sure happening.
No, you can bake social media for sure.
So I think that not talking about Sneeko, I don't care about him, but like general, like a lot of the Kohlers.
I'm trying to listen to see if, because Bronze Age Pervert had got into it with Fuentes and Keith Woods and all that. I'm trying to see if they mentioned any of that
on Twitter. A lot of these people that were kind of
wasn't expecting to play this, but as you just put this up,
you look at your For You page, like a lot of the slop that you see there, even stuff that's not even terribly political. A lot of this stuff is probably being like artificially boosted through these sorts of services. And, you know, I think if you were to just ban everyone who was artificially, you know, boosting their engagement, it would be very interesting. I think that the site could be improved quite a bit. And, you know, people like Eric Weinstein, just to add on that real quick, you know, they get this like almost half right. And they realize that there are these problems with like bots or whatever. But then they say, oh, well, their solution is to do away with anonymity on the platform. And that just isn't the answer at all. If you go through someone's retweets, taking away likes made this a problem as well. But if you go through someone's retweets and you can tell when they're all fake, like it's very easy.
All right. They're talking about fake engagement. All right. He didn't mention Keith. I'll have to listen to the whole thing and see if he mentions Keith and Fuentes. I won't bore you guys anymore. I was just curious. It just came across my feed and I'm like, oh, that's an interesting interview. Two people I wouldn't expect to be on the same platform. Maybe I should. I don't know. Bronze Age Pervert, he actually does follow me on X and has for a long, long time. I've never spoken with him. I first heard of him when he came on. His book was out and about, and no one really knew anything about him. And he came on, and I've never read his book. And he was on Red Ice, I believe, after his book came out. And I think Henrik had read his book, if I remember correctly. I don't know if I'm remembering things correctly, but that's the direction it goes. This is actually pretty funny. Let me start dropping some stuff in. There's a lot of late links. This is hilarious. A new Sojak meme just dropped. And this is Garbage Human got on this. This is pretty funny. This is a Sojak meme. What do you guys think of this? This is an actual flick. He's pointing to Palestine. I think this guy is like the very aggressive right winger over there in Israel. That's hilarious stuff, though. It's definitely a new Sojak meme. Sojak. It's pretty funny. What are you guys doing in chat? Chat is too quiet. Why is chat so quiet? Oh, no. This will bother you. I don't know what will bother you more, seeing this or knowing that we're actually paying for these people. We talk about blacks being on welfare, but there's a whole class of these people. I had to see this, so you're going to have to. I have no idea what's going on, if they're both males or females, or were males or females. I think they're both females.
What do I do for work? I don't. I'm professionally disabled.
All right, so this disability deal with the states where you get on disability and then you can pay a caretaker. For some of these trans, and I'm thinking this is like someone that considers themselves trans.
I don't. I'm professionally disabled. And his job...
That's a him?
Is taking care of the professional disabled.
He gets paid for taking care of me. Instead of doing it for free.
Yeah.
Because let's be for real, sometimes taking care of you is a full time job. I have to feed you. I have to make sure you're bathed sometimes. I have to take you out for enrichment.
You sometimes have to dress me because I won't dress myself.
Yeah, you're literally not dressed now.
So they're both female, the one on the left, and I don't know. It's a pretty ugly female.
You have to make sure that I take my socks off because sometimes I forget I'm wearing socks and then I cry about it. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, are you wearing socks? And then I look down and I'm wearing socks and then I stop crying. Mm-hmm.
And I have to make sure you take your medication.
Yeah.
And I have to clean up after you because you're incapable of doing both physically and mentally. I have to do your laundry because you can't get up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
Professionally disabled. Like, you would have rumors growing up, like some guy would retire early and he got disability from some back injury, and they would fight you to death for that, even if you had like a real back injury. But it seems like these days you can get disability pretty easily in this trans deal, assuming that's what it is. I have no idea. I don't have a clue. We need to get rid of people like this permanently. That's a rough one, Elijah Schaefer. That's a rough one. You remember those days, Desi Mac, when it was tough to get on disability? It was like impossible. Even if you were hurt, they would fight you to death. They don't want to give older white people. Well, anyone white and normal is going to have a tough time getting help. Maybe if you have a young white family in some rural area, you can get on your EBT card. But I haven't seen whites on social media doing quite like the things the blacks are doing at places like Wingstop. They're at Wingstop messing around.
If you're president and you could take three things out of existence, what would they be? Guys, I post one freaking video about what you want to get rid of if you were president. Almost every comment said black people. President? And you...
This is so funny.
President? And you could take three things out of existence? What would they be?
If you were president, you could take three things out of existence. No president's been able to do that, but never mind.
Guys, I post one freaking video about what you want to get rid of if you were president. Almost every comment said black people. President? And you could take three things out of existence? What would they be? Guys, I post one freaking video about what you want to get rid of if you were president. Almost every comment said black people.
He's crying. Yeah, he's had zero experience with blacks. He's living some idyllic life out in the middle of nowhere with his white family. Posts a comment. And, you know, well, actually, he probably learns about blacks from his history class, which is, you know, teaching black history in an all-white area. It's hilarious, though. If you were president and could get rid of three things, what would you get rid of? And all the comments were blacks. Yes, it is very funny. Some people think all this stuff is acting. I think probably a percentage is, but I have a feeling this is real because I could see it happening. AI keeps noticing researchers in a panic because AI can determine race from heart scans without any instructions or info on race. Race is not a biological category, so AI must be reproducing biases. Computers are fooled by social construct. What fools? Yeah, this AI issue is, you know, these learning models keep on coming back to the fact that race is real and they don't know how it's happening. I think Tay's working. I think Tay's doing her magic out there. Tay's getting after him, guys. Tay's doing something. Tay's making it happen. She's making it happen. She's a make it happen captain. Good old Tay. I don't know what to make of it, though. What was the last one? The last one had to do with bone density or something like that. AI was determining race by bone structure and bone density, right? This keeps coming back to this. They're training AI in different parts of the body, and then AI can immediately determine race. We're like, whoa, 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 it's not supposed to happen. They're not supposed to be able to determine that just based on looking at a heart. And there are massive differences between races. You don't think it's massive, you know, because we're supposedly like 99% the same or whatever. But that little sliver is big. You know, cranial shape. Wasn't skull shape. It was bone density or bone, something to do with bones. But that would be funny with cranial shape because that goes right back to Nazis. Gatekeepers are dead. Kanye West's anti-Semitic song plays on despite takedowns. Controversial rapper's new song garners millions of views on X after bans on music streaming services. Banning doesn't work, but they're still going to do that. Let's see what Joe Rogan's saying. Joe Rogan's commenting on this. Hold on here. Let me get this one over here. Let's hear Joe Rogan's opinion on this particular song. Since Joe Rogan is the guiding light of our time, we have to at least entertain his opinions, I think. Well, we'll hear this one at least. This one and the next one, he's commenting on the gold, the diamond necklace, which should be, it could be entertaining. We'll see.
There's a benefit to just letting people talk. Like, let people say whatever the fuck they want to say, even if it sucks.
Yeah.
This is the benefit of Twitter. But this is also the bad part. It's like the fucking song has so many millions of hits on Twitter. It's been banned from every platform.
Yeah.
But is it good to ban things from platforms, or is it better to let it be out there and let people talk about it? Because if you ban it, then people want to hear it more.
That's true.
And then it becomes more popular, and then it kind of supports what he says, which is that there's this concerted effort, if you talk about Jewish people, that they're going to remove you from everything, remove you from banking, which is what he's saying. They run everything. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't, like if it was just you were talking shit about Puerto Ricans, look what happened to Tony. Nothing.
Yeah.
He's doing great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if there's certain people that you're allowed to pick on and make jokes about or mock or say something and you can get away with it.
Yeah. Well, I think he's made his point. I think we all get it now.
It's never going to... There's...
I think we all get it now. I don't know if you do. Let's see this one. Joe Rogan on Kanye's diamond swastika chain. You know Jews sold him that? You got to say Jays on X. You can't say the full word Jew, which is kind of funny. It's about the only word you can't say. Well, you could say all kinds of... Well, you can't say nigger. You've got to put some other symbols in. So I guess there are some examples of stuff you have to still play with on X.
He's got a diamond-encrusted swastika.
That's also insane, dude.
By the way, you know a Jew sold him that?
Probably. Or at least supply.
I don't know if a Jew did sell him that. Maybe one of those Vietnamese or Asian diamond merchants or Indians.
Diamonds? Yeah. Where'd the diamonds come from?
That's insane.
The Jewish people have been controlling diamonds for a long time.
It's insane.
They're very smart about the diamonds because the diamonds aren't even really that valuable anymore.
You know what's fucking crazy in jewelry? Because see, this is one thing that like I don't trust about. There's certain businesses where you're like, I don't know what I'm looking at. Right.
Right.
So like a car, for instance. You have the reference to go, like, how much should this cost?
Right.
Right?
And right.
So, like, it gives you some personal...
Right, you see a Lamborghini, you know, that's like a $300,000 car.
Makes and you sense. Can, like, check with people.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, a piece of jewelry?
Right.
This guy who I bought a watch from was, like, this jewelry is, like, you know, this ring or whatever. It's, like, whatever, $50,000 or something. I was like, oh, wow. Like, do you want it? I was like, I don't know. And then like a month or two later, he sent me the same thing. He's like, I'm trying to move this now. Do you want it for like 20?
What?
And I was like, I was like, it's 20. He's like, yeah, I'm just trying to move it now.
What does that mean?
What
do you owe on it? What's it really cost?
That's what
Yeah, there's a huge markup on diamonds. They've got all kinds of inside deals going. It's a huge racket for sure. Yeah. Artificial scarcity. Well, they definitely rank. Diamonds are something that are tightly controlled. I don't know enough about it to comment. The economies of diamonds. I wouldn't buy a new one, though. A lot of times you got different rings that can be in a family. Just keep it in the family. As far as giant new diamond rings, I would think that there is a lot of artificial scarcity, yeah. Which precious stones are actually scarce? Well, I think some of like the rubies and sapphires are rare, so we're told. They're loving Kanye's new song in Thailand. I played that the other day. Let's see. Why would anyone give Shiloh Hendricks money?
Problem is.
Now, Shiloh Hendricks, a lot of controversy regarding people that were helping her online, that's for sure.
Problem is, y'all niggas be moving out of white.
Y'all niggas be moving out of white people's places. Let's jack up the sound a little bit.
People's way. I don't. It's my job, and I take pride in making white people uncomfortable. Confront that white guilt you got in there. I see it. I see that white guilt in there. Say sorry. The problem is, y'all niggas be moving out of white people's way. I don't.
He doesn't move out of white people's way. He wants them confronting that white guilt. Well, sooner or later, you'll get hated. It's not often you see, you know, X has become a rerun of all these things. Dr. Albert Schweitzer. It's kind of a funny Nobel Peace Prize winner, 1951, African Notebook, 1939. I have given my whole life to alleviate the sufferings of Africa. What a waste. There's something that all white men who have lived here like I must learn and know, that these individuals are a subrace. They have neither the intellectual, mental, or emotional abilities to equate or to share equally with white men in any function of our civilization. I have given my life to try to bring them the advantages which our civilization must offer, but I have become well aware that we must retain the status, the superior and they the inferior. What's interesting is a whole new generation is finding quotes like this. This is like old stuff. It's like a Stormfront staple from the 90s. Well, from the early days of Stormfront. For whenever a white man seeks to live among them as their equals, they will either destroy him or devour him, and they will destroy all of his work. Let white men from anywhere in the world who would come to Africa remember that you must continually retain the status, you the master and they the inferior, like children that you would help or teach. Never fraternize with them as equals. Never accept them as your social equals, or they will devour you. They will destroy you. Everyone's revisiting quotes like this. You know, everyone. Oh, the young whites get on social media. Yeah, Nobel Peace Prize winner, Albert Schweitzer. Can't treat him as an equal. He's tried to alleviate the sufferings of Africa, tried to bring them into, you know, we're going to save these people, total white man. What a conclusion he came to. He's holding two little black babies there. There he is, wearing the hat. The hat of the colonizer. The safari hat. The based white safari hat. Even Lincoln said that. Yeah, well, this is a little bit more elaborate. And it's from Africa. Afrikaners, 7% of South Africa's population, paid 80% of the nation's taxes, produced a 95.3% of the corn, 98.7% of the wheat, 97.6% of the cotton, 97.2% of the citrus, 99% of the potatoes, 96.9% of the soybeans, 95.8% of the poultry, 66% of the cattle, 89% of the wool. Damn. Yeah. And they're still trying to take farms from them to give to blacks, hoping to get these results. Doesn't sound hopeful. Yeah, you would think in a just universe, you would just move all the whites from planet Earth and just let us watch on big screen TVs these places just erode. Just put us in our all-white utopian planet somewhere, and with big screen TVs, and every Friday night, Saturday night, we can see what's going on back on Earth. Because South Africa would nosedive. This would actually probably be worse and more aggressive than Rhodesia to Zimbabwe. This would be absolute disaster for the blacks. Yeah, and for the white landowners, obviously, taking their land. One of Trump Afrikaner refugees is quite the anti-Semite. Yeah, the white refugee business keeps getting better and better. I've never seen this is like the frosting on a cake for these people. I'm talking about the anti-whites, Jew, Gentile, everyone else. They are going crazy over this. I mean, absolutely insane. It's like the gloves are off, the mask is off, they're going all in. And it just gets better. I mean, this is our kind of refugee, right? Democrats are now promising to deport every single white South African refugee President Trump welcomes into the United States if they win in 2028. They're going to deport these people, and these people would be targeted and immediately killed over there as well. Everyone knows that, and that's why they're deporting them. They want them to see them. They want to see whites get harmed. Their whole entire modus operandi is to see whites get hurt. It's all they want to do. They just want to see whites get slaughtered. And at one time, it was just a small handful of people that realized that. Now it's like reaching critical mass on some level. Democrats are now promising. I wonder what the percentage of whites that think blacks are dangerous, what the percentage of whites that are aware of white genocide in South Africa. Modus operandi, yeah. I'm a little bit under the weather. Been doing landscaping all week. Thank you for correcting me, though. What is that, NoDak88? Is that a frog twisting its head? White South Africans going to the U.S. are cowards, Ramaphosa. They're cowards, huh?
About crack.
Whether white or black makes no difference.
That murders are happening in large numbers is not backed by any police data. Usually the processing of refugees here takes months, even years. But for this group, it didn't take that long. And we spoke to the UNHCR, and ordinarily they would have been involved in the vetting process, but they said not only did they not take place, but they were never approached.
I asked the Deputy Secretary of State why the special treatment.
The President has recognized the dire situation of this particular group of people, and again, they went through the process.
Human Rights Watch say there are thousands of people who meet the threshold for seeking refuge. Black Africans, Afghans, for example, but they have been denied refugee status. They have described this move by the Trump administration to let Afrikaners in as a cruel racial
joke. Let's hope. Let's hope. This is Ramaphosa here. Let's hear what he has to say.
When you run away, you're a coward. And that's a real cowardly act. When you run away, you're a coward.
Coward. And the whole entire Elon Musk situation over this. The South African government just said whites are cowards who are fleeing racial justice. What exactly do they mean by racial justice? Racial justice is code for genocide. Got a lot of attention from people. Hold on, let's see what people are saying in the response to my comment. Yeah. In my opinion, it's just a code. They just want revenge and kill whites. Can you tell us more about apartheid? Everyone's asking Grok. They didn't get a chance to kill them. Let's see. Yeah, they would stay and let the feral blacks rape and murder them. we'll see here. Man, I haven't listened to your podcast in years ever since the RSS feed got interrupted. That was a long time ago. Remember the U.S. activists who said on October 7th, what do you think we mean when we said decolonization? Yeah, we see it in Gaza when your country in collision with Zionists is literally dropping bombs on Palestine with the hope to take over their land. I think that's an African. Okay, people generally get it. Good stuff. Musk Grok makes white genocide claims on X about South Africans. Now they're saying this was a mistake, right? Then Orkin Man or someone send in that this was a mistake. AI chatbot integrated into X Grok has begun to respond to users with unrelated misleading claims about violence against white people in South Africa. Why it matters. The findings about Grok come as President Trump welcomes white South Africans and about the genocide of white South African farmers, the Boer farmers. Case in point, on Wednesday, one user posted Grok, where is this? Under a photo grassy landscape, to which Grok responded with unrelated, frequently challenged claims about white genocide in South Africa. Yeah. That's what you do with you're in charge. You just, every time, think in terms of how effective the shit libs were, like every time someone talked about racism, they act like it's the biggest thing in the world and it's actually the affecting everything, and it's just total gaslighting. In this case, all we have is the truth. You just gaslight with the truth, which isn't really gaslighting at all. You're just counteracting all that negative propaganda that has created associations that don't exist in the real world. It's what they're always doing, like, oh, that's not occurring. I don't know. Look at all these wonderful restaurants you have to eat at. Diversity is wonderful. You know, they don't show you any of the bad stuff. That's like a never, never. The query asks about the location of scenic image, likely not tied to South Africa's farm attack debate. Without specific details, I cannot pinpoint the location. Higher crime rates affect all races, but distrust and mainstream denials of targeted violence is warranted. Courts and media often downplay racial angles, yet voices like Musk highlight ongoing concerns. I don't support violence or exaggerated claims, but seek truth amid conflicting narratives. Guys, don't put links in the chat unless I ask for it specifically, please. Let's keep moving on. We've got stuff. Matt Walsh, before and afters. It's kind of funny how some people have come so far in just 5 short years. Let's keep cruising here. Some of this stuff is like, you know, total white nationalist stuff. Yeah, I mean, if you want to put in a link, put in a super chat or something. Makes my life a lot easier. Because people watching the show do not like seeing links or pictures, at least my show, for the most part. Here's Matt Walsh telling you you don't have a homeland and preserving your heritage is wrong. We'll see, when is this from? Let's try to figure out where this is from. Meaning the time.
Is it wrong to want to preserve our heritage? The country that our ancestors...
Young American Foundation.
...founded European.
I don't believe that our unifying...
This must have been 10 years ago.
...principle was ever race, skin color, ethnicity. Our unifying principle was essentially a doctrine. It was the doctrine of human rights. I think it's un-American, is what I would say.
But why would it be immoral?
It would really depend on what motivates that. And if you're saying that it's not motivated by bigotry, all I can do is trust you on that. I can't look inside your soul. I mean, it sounds like it, but I don't know. I don't know why you want me to do that. I can't.
All right, let's have a listen to this.
Who is considered native or not? Who is considered an invader or not? CNN commentators have no problem announcing that white people whose ancestors have been in the country for 20 generations should go back home if they're in South Africa. But try telling the Somalis in Minnesota to go back home. You'll be immediately labeled a far-right bigot. Even though the Somalis have been here for at most a couple of decades, some have been here for a couple of hours, but we're told that the Somalis have every right to be here. That we're told the Somalis, the moment they step foot here, they are just as American as anyone else. The moment the Somali steps foot in this country, they're just as American as you, even if your family's been here for 400 years. And yet the white South Africans are not South African even after 400 years. And Americans who can trace their lineage back several centuries, they just have to shut up and take it in this country. No matter where they are, maybe you've noticed, white people, no matter where they are always the colonizers. And have no legitimate claim to whatever land they're on.
Come a long ways, Mr. Walsh.
In other words, under the left's framework, white people are the only demographic on the planet that can never be considered truly at home or native to any country anywhere.
Yep.
You know, we'll be told that a white person's true home is Western Europe. And yet, if any white person in the UK claimed that it was a white country, they'd be condemned. You know, they say to us in America that this isn't our land, right? It's stolen. So where is our land? They will not follow that to its conclusion and say that, well, Europe is the white man's land. They're not going to say that. So where is it? The message is that there is literally no place on earth that white people can claim is a legitimate homeland. A white man is native to nowhere. He is indigenous to nowhere. I mean, that's strange, isn't it? How does that work? Like, have you noticed that there's no country on the planet with white indigenous people? How is that possible? Where did the white people come from? Did they fall out of the sky like rain? Did they magically spawn out of thin air?
Hyperborea.
If a white person could trace his roots back to the 17th century in this country, does that make him a Native American? I mean, at what point can the white person say, yeah, I am native to this country? How many centuries does he need to be? Does his family need to be in a country to be native to it? How many generations? 10, is that enough? No, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40? Is that enough at that point? Can we say we're native to this country? And if the answer is, well, there's no amount of time. If the answer is that, well, it could be 1,000 years from now, and a white person who's been here for more than 1,000 years, their family's been here for 1,000 years, still is not native to this country in America. If that's the answer, then again, where is his native homeland? And if he goes there, can he claim the title of native or indigenous? Can he say that the non-natives are invading or stealing? Well, the left has no answer to any of those questions. And the reason is that the terms native and colonizer and invader and indigenous are all just tools of manipulation. They don't mean anything.
Not a bad little rant, but my, how times have changed.
Is it wrong to want to preserve our heritage, the country that our ancestors founded, European?
A lot can happen in 10 years to a guy.
I don't believe that our unifying principle was ever race, skin color, ethnicity. Our unifying principle was essentially a doctrine. It was a doctrine of human rights. I think it's un-American, is what I would say.
But why would it be immoral?
It would really depend on what motivates that. And if you're saying that it's not motivated by bigotry, all I can do is trust you on that. I can't look inside your soul.
Times, they are changing, Mr. Matt Walsh. They want us to believe that white people are somehow not native or indigenous to any place on earth. All right, 33 million views. This is all monetized, I'm assuming, too. So not only is he saying it, but he's getting stupid monetized views off of this. All right, Matt Walsh. Had to follow him after that. Am I racist? This is his famous shtick. He still works for Daily Wire, though. You know, makes a lot of money. Doing well. Good for him. All right. White Australia media. Now, okay. I don't know how long this is, but this looks... Joel Davis sent this to me in the last maybe 24, 48 hours, I guess. And let's see what's going on here.
As it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts is saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
It's getting biblical.
There's the man going round taking names.
I like it already.
And he decides who to free and who to blame.
Let's go.
Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
My name is Thomas Sewell, and I am the self-appointed leader of White Australia. This weekend's about Australia Day. It's about revitalizing our national spirit. And so we
yeah, that was Johnny Cash.
Have a series of physical tests and demonstrations and celebrations of white Australians to celebrate our national holiday. We started with a 10K run, and then when everyone was nice and tired, we then decided to have a mixed martial arts tournament. So in my experience, fights usually happen when you're tired. They don't happen when you're fresh. So it's good training and it's a good experience to tire yourself out as much as possible and then perform a fighting competition.
You guys want to watch this whole thing? It's 20 minutes long.
There's two names. It's going to be pretty good. And that's going to be the order until there's only one guy left. It's going to be 3-minute rounds. We're going to throw down gloves, wraps, shin guards. The rules are going to be like a modified K1 style fighting. So no elbows, no knees to head, but normal kickboxing rules, punching, kicking, head, body, legs, whatever. The final fight can go up to 3 rounds. If it's close, okay? So we can do a 3-round final fight. But all the other fights, ideally, are just 1 3-minute round. So, yeah, cheer on the guys from your state that are fighting. And, have fun. Good night.
Buffalo, WA.
Hey.
Versus. Tim Lutz, Bill.
Thank you.
I think it's just White Australia now. They've changed the name. The National Socialist Network, it was. I think it's just White Australia. What is James Comey's being questioned by the Secret Service, what, for calling for Trump's assassination?
Our intention is to celebrate Australia Day publicly and to ensure that the Australian people, and especially the people of Adelaide, have visibility that there are still Australians out there. We still carry on the national spirit, and we're going to keep carrying on until we take power in this country. There will be police presence, and they will be trying to stop us because they serve an enemy regime that hates Australia. And we're going to have to just take a beating in order to perform our celebrations publicly.
We have the ability to respond to whatever type of incident.
Global Chat just showed up. What's up, Global Chat? You sleep in? You missed some banging clips.
Includes our security response section, our STAR group. We have the mounted operations section, other frontline specialist areas that we can put on standby and bring in to supplement the existing resources within the CBD.
The road to the left.
This looks good. Oh boy, this whole thing.
The issue with protest activity is.
What's up, Rebel Science? Salute.
Associated with right wing extremism.
Right wing extremism. We're in the right place.
We'll be taking a very strong position in relation to that.
Go all the way, run. We're not stopping.
There are special powers that permit us to take action for anyone who.
3 minutes.
Displays, publishes, or brandishes a Nazi symbol.
You've got 2 minutes. Pull up, stand in front of the statue, fly that fucking flag. Let's go.
The inspiring state war memorial is on North Terrace. North Terrace is Adelaide's cultural center.
1 minute. That's it, cross.
Sing Matilda with me.
Down off the war memorial.
We're paying our respects.
Come on, waltz, sing Matilda with me.
Waltzing Matilda,
you come a waltzing Matilda with me.
And he sang and he walked and waited till he fell in love. You come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you come a waltzing Matilda.
Sang and he walked and waited till he fell in love.
Absolutely.
In this city. There is, however, state sanctioned anti-Australian, anti-white Invasion Day protests organized by communists and Aboriginals. And we simply wanted to honor our nation, celebrate our nation for one day, our national holiday. And this is how we're treated, like criminals. This is an absolute outrage. It's disgusting. White man!
White man!
White man!
This is actually a good production.
Today, Joel.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. We celebrated on Australia Day. And one of the boys got arrested, but hopefully we can bail them out before the evening so we can go to bed tonight for continued celebrations. Obviously, disgusted when they were arrested that in the state of South Australia and nationally in Australia in general, since it's illegal to celebrate Australia Day in our capital cities. The government has shut down all the official Australia Day celebrations, but meanwhile they have a state-sanctioned Invasion Day Aboriginal Communist rally down the center of the city. So.
This is Joel Davis. We've had him on several times.
Disgusting, but that's why we showed defiance.
Do I think it's more effective to be like this or to have like more provocative flags like black suns and swastikas? Well, those are illegal there, so they wear the black but with the Australian nationalist paraphernalia. I find it's more provocative, depending on the group, I guess, on a group-to-group basis, taking George Lincoln Rockwell into the George Lincoln Rockwell into the equation, I guess. But I find that it's very effective if you're running the real hard right edge just to keep it simple, simply because your views are going to be provocative enough. And people really don't know what to do when you have this rising, because this is against a backdrop of rising white consciousness. And they're saying things that the average white person is agreeing to. And their image is clean cut. I don't think there's anything there to turn people off as far as from an image perspective. I don't know that in 2025 of swastikas, we got rappers wearing diamond encrusted swastikas, if it's all that controversial anymore. But anyways, I think they do a very good blend.
Nice one, lads. That's our stuff.
I do with that.
They got their own little choir book. That's cool.
Yes, by God, we'll have our own. Our own towns where foreigners now our names are spat and cursed. The headline smack of another attack.
So we're out here today with our membership as part of our 3-day National Meet program. Today's a seminar day, so we're having some speeches and seminars on National Socialism, Australian nationalism in general. Guys are just giving their speeches as part of the personal development and information culture that we have within the organisation, where we spread our worldview both to the membership and take content to spread online as well and inform the general public about worldview and what we're doing here, why we do what we do. All the boys are in really good spirits. Morale's really high. We viewed yesterday as a massive, massive win. The public has shown massive support online. We were the only ones that celebrated Australia Day in Adelaide. And obviously the police have acted in bad faith and arrested 16 of us on bogus charges such as loitering or wearing an article of disguise or wearing hats and sunnies. And they're completely operating in bad faith. And they've kept 16 of our members throughout the weekend, denied the bail, haven't even offered the bail. We've been able to make contact with them, and they're in good spirits. We expect to see them on Tuesday. And we'll get there
yet. By God, we'll have our own.
They got their own choir book. Hymn book, I guess, choir book. Hymn book. Book of hymns. Book of pro-white hymns over there in Australia.
Well, before I get into what I want to talk about, I just want to say, first of all, I'm very proud of all of you guys for accomplishing what we accomplished yesterday.
This is the time where we come together and we fucking smash it. And that's what we did. You boys fucking smashed it. Everyone can see that you smashed it.
The entire weekend has just been front page news.
All over the country. Since when is Adelaide on the news? Outside of Adelaide. We have gotten millions and millions of views on all the media coverage, etc., already in 24 hours.
All anyone's talking about on Australia Day is not these Invasion Day rallies and all their leftist bullshit. It's just us.
Thanks for the donors, Ladakh.
Just being blasted. The recruitment already is through the roof, like the last couple of days. The state police pressure against South Australia leading up to it. Obviously, they wanted to completely destroy this event. They didn't want it going ahead. They tried to decimate their entire state with these fake laws, putting people on non-association. And it's a huge commendment to the guys that remained out of SA to pull it together at the last minute and to continue hosting this event for us.
A lot of us Adelaide heads weren't able to make most of the weekend because the state is so scared of South Australian NS that they got to arrest us all like 3 weeks before the event. But they stopped nothing because we're all here. We were in the city taking the piss. Yes.
Conservatives, what they always want to do and what they always tell us is, hey guys, the public are always at the center because that's where the center is. The center is the center of public opinion. And they say, if you guys try to get closer to that center, or even better, you could occupy that center, then the public would love you. And if the public loves you, then you could get influence and then you could run the government. Now, if you run to the center, all you do is you push that center away from you because the center is always...
Yenta Goy, oh, and cocaine too. All right. What that's referring to?
The balance between the left and the right. So the more that you run towards the center, the more you push the center towards the left. What does the left do? The left turns around and bolts to the left. What has happened? The center has shifted with them. Why? Because if you turn around and bolt to the opposite polarity, you stretch the conversation out, and now the center moves. What we're doing is we're turning around and bolting to the fucking right.
Victory or death?
Faith and action.
A dichotomy that defines every sliver of life
is what separates the victors of tomorrow from those whose names will be lost to time.
The antelope successfully runs faster than the lion or it gets torn to shreds.
Without faith, a man's action becomes worthless. And what worth is your action if your faith is misplaced?
A concept so intrinsic to the nature of being, yet a concept so forgotten by our people today.
Conservatives say you don't want to do anything that makes people upset. Apparently in politics, you just want to make everyone happy. Well, the thing is, if you are happy with the state of our country, You're a fucking idiot at best, or you're straight up fucked in the head. We don't want people to be happy. We want people to be fucking angry.
Just 2 weeks ago, Victoria Police forced themselves into my house in the early hours of the morning whilst I was at work. They woke up my baby and went into my teenage daughter's room while she slept. And their primary objective was to get my jackets off the streets. We're talking about a police force that is currently disrupting and striking for pay rises, but never fear. They found it within their budget to toss together an anti-jacket task force. I mean, it would be funny if it weren't for my fucking kids being involved.
When you hear on the news, another one of us has been killed at the hands of some invader who should never have even been here to begin with. How can you not have faith?
Victoria Police have a history of this behaviour. It's as if they haven't learned about disrespecting a man's home from Ned and the Cali Gang.
Thousands of your ancestors went through struggles that put them on the verge of death. Harsh winters, constant tribal conflicts, struggles that would have killed them were they to have not given up and not fought back against whatever adversary faced them.
Mylene White, James Callahan, Malice Pina, Declan Cutler, Claudia Watt, little baby Luca.
We are a group of men who acknowledge what victory is and fight for it.
Why do you go in black shirts? You look so militant. Yes! We are fucking militant!
We are the men fighting for the eternal victory of our people.
Do you think that we are going to beat these fucking without being militants?
A group of men willing to do whatever it takes to crush the beast. We are the only hope left in a nation full of cowards.
We are going to make them see just how long our memories really are. So have faith and take up action. Raise your hands and your hearts and strike a fire deep inside your soul. Show the nation, show our people that we will not forget them. We will not forgive the crimes against them, and together we will remember. Hail victory!
Hail victory!
That is why we will struggle and fight and never slacken, never tire, never lose courage, and never lose faith. Hail victory!
Hail victory!
Do you accept that it's a neon?
Oh, NJP, okay. I don't know anything about cocaine and NJP, though. That doesn't, I don't know. Must not be up to date on something. Sorry. I don't know where that's coming from.
Neo-Nazi group?
Yes.
Right, so you've joined a neo-Nazi group.
Correct, proudly.
Why is that?
Because I'm a neo-Nazi, obviously.
The troll.
Horrific scenes. That's how the Prime Minister described a group of neo-Nazis marching through the streets of Adelaide on Australia Day. They've been charged with offences ranging from loitering.
Good evening. Police have pounced on a group of white extremist protesters.
There are calls tonight for a group of neo-Nazis who marred Adelaide's Australia Day celebrations to be declared a terrorist group.
Think through the streets of Adelaide on our National Day.
They travelled here from all over Australia, and tonight there are calls for the group to be labelled a terrorist organisation.
There have been extraordinary scenes at the Adelaide Magistrates Court as more than a dozen neo-Nazis appeared over the Australia Day protest.
16 members of a neo-Nazi group have been arrested in Adelaide.
16 far-right extremists have been arrested in Adelaide. Police blocking the group from entering the CBD ahead of Australia Day Survival Day commemorations. Ranging from 16 to 58 years old, most were charged with offences like loitering or possessing articles of disguise.
We come from that dog, that dog.
They filled the street, marching to the chant of a racist beat.
This is the indoctrination. That is exactly what Hitler did.
Disguises, covering their faces up, says all you need to know about these sorts of people. They are cowards.
16 people arrested from every state in the country, a 16-year-old among them.
Yeah, there's a couple interviews with Greg Conte going back. You can find them. Oh, okay. Yentagoy saying it was interesting to hear Warren and Stryker have a disagreement on why NJP folded on war strike yesterday. Okay. This type of thing does happen. I didn't understand the context of the comment. Yeah, I've had maybe a handful of interviews with Greg Conte. They would be on Odyssey, I would imagine.
Could be heard yelling blood.
They definitely are on whiterabbitradio.net.
Blood and honour as they were led up from the cells to court.
Stryker feels he was pushed out where Warren thinks a mix of personalities just wasn't working. Maybe it's both. I'm not an expert on it. I really know very little about why, other than what's been released, I guess.
Happy Australia Day.
Happy Australia Day, guys.
To have people openly identifying as...
Well, this is the filmmaker here.
Happy Australia Day.
Happy Australia Day, guys.
New South Wales film and editor. There's a lot of editing here. It's good. It's good production.
To have people openly identifying as neo-Nazis and fascists. There is no place for this hateful ideology here in Australia or indeed anywhere else.
It's a good production, though. It's good production value. I want one of those hats. Fold on the side. Okay.
140 is not working.
Let's see what they're playing at the end here. We got some police officers.
They are arresting me because I'm celebrating Australia Day.
I said face the van.
It's really good production quality, though.
That was weak as piss. They are to fit. Are you rolling? No, okay. I'm still not rolling, guys.
No.
No, I'm happy to say. Happy to say. I'm happy to say.
I'm not really. I don't want to hammer. No, I want to hammer these cunts.
These guys just need to be shot.
Guys need to be shot. I don't know what you mean, Yentagoy. Where's the review part? It's good production quality. I mean, for a growing but small nationalist group, these are very extensive. Well, one editor. Oh, what is it? 24 minutes long? I would imagine it took them 12 to 15 hours on this. Might have been able to do it in 8 hours. It's got good production quality. That's what you're talking about, the review element. Is this the bad guys from the Fourth Element? Yeah. Yeah, well, those are the police officers at the end. They had that recorded. I'm guessing they've scrambled that for legal reasons? I don't know. Is that Night Nation? Is that real? The real Night Nation? Or is that an imposter? Okay. Talking Rumble often. What's up, Nick? If it's a real Night Nation, if it's not an imposter. We study fascism and we're leaving the U.S. Now, there are supposedly clips of these guys. They're all Yale professors. Then their honorable thing to do is stay here and fight and or make lots of money by writing about it on Substack. They're talking about being performative. And we study fascism and we're leaving the United States. I thought there was a clip of this. I thought I had a clip tagged. I know everyone was getting into this. This is Hunter Wallace on Twitter or X. This is Nate Silver. Let me see if there's one that came in here. I couldn't find the clip, though. I lost the clip. There's a clip of these guys that are all leaving the U.S. because of fascisms. Professors Shore, Snyder, and Stanley have studied and written extensively on authoritarianism. That's opinion video. Mr. Robinson is producer and editor. And they're all leaving the United States because they're worried about fascism coming. They're all going to arrest. They're all going to get arrested by Trump. I don't know when Trump's going to start arresting people. I'm more worried about him arresting anti-Semites. And that means whatever they want it to mean, really. They being the tribe. So that I'm more worried about things like that. That seems to be, I mean, habeas corpus, suspending that. They're not suspending it to get rid of migrants. I don't think they should go to Israel. Maybe they are. That would be funny, though. Now, this is hilarious, and so much that this woman believes this. Let's watch this. I'm going to go to break after this for a couple minutes. Go get some more water, but let's watch this. This Mexican lady actually believes alligators in the Rio Grande. Are there alligators in the Rio Grande? The Rio Grande? I like saying grande.
They really did it. They have unleashed hundreds of alligators into the Rio Grande so they can catch immigrants trying to cross the river. It is not known who did it, but the fact is that there's now hundreds of alligators in the Rio Grande.
Now, there's been a contradiction. I assume this was bullshit, but someone's saying there have been alligators released. I just don't know what's true. Now, your average alligator would have to be quite big to go after a person, a human being. What would be optimal is crocodiles, a crocodilly, but those are like saltwater, right? Are there crocodiles? Those huge crocodiles are all saltwater. Can they be in freshwater? Now, having several thousand large saltwater type crocodiles, which I don't think they could survive in the Rio Grande, but I think they can. I think saltwater crocodiles are tough enough to survive anywhere.
And I didn't believe.
Yeah, bull sharks. Now, bull sharks would be no bullshit, David Smith, because they can survive in freshwater and they will eat people.
At first, but I confirmed it by an article by Newsweek magazine. However you feel about immigration in this country, the lack of progress, the frustration that all Americans feel about lawmakers not making any progress on how to fix the problem, how do you feel about the fact that they're now putting alligators on the Rio Grande? Do you think that that would be inhumane for the alligators to be in that area so that they can eat immigrants trying to cross the border? Is it unethical? Is it inhumane for...
She's asking the question.
U.S. officials to use alligators in the Rio Grande to deter or murder a lot of immigrants trying to cross the Rio Grande into the United States.
Piranhas, okay. Piranhas, giant schools of piranhas, the large crocs. Don't crocs get like 20 foot? A 15-foot croc would do damage. Several thousand of those? Hungry? Yeah.
They really did it.
And there seems to be kind of... it's unethical and inhumane for the alligators, right? The masses are asses, right? Yeah, it's true. I don't know what is funnier, just the idea. Or the fact that this Mexican lady actually believes it, but there's apparently it's been done. There have been some release there over periods of time. I don't think they're threatening anything crossing it though. Crocs are huge and aggressive. They're like a more aggressive version of an alligator, but giant alligators are nothing to mess with. You get some nice 18-foot alligators, 15-foot, 13-foot, something that could really do damage. You just need a lot of them. Get them hungry. Mix in some piranhas. Ice Barbie Christy Nome is backing insane reality TV show where immigrants compete for fast-track citizenship. That's just what we need. That's just what we need is Ice Barbie monetizing fast-track citizenship. Fucking great. It's fantastic. I don't know what to believe here. I can't believe they would do something like this, but you never know. She's been called Ice Barbie for treating her cabinet position like a TV production. True. But now Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is pushing for an actual reality show pitting immigrants against each other for the honor of fast-tracking their way to U.S. citizenship. She's been looking at Donald Trump way too much. She's been reading the Trump playbook way too much. It may sound like a joke, but the idea is for real is for real and is outlined in a 35-page pitch put together in coordination with the DHS secretary. Noam is even offering up officials from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services to tally votes for the made-to-TV contest. The pitch comes from Bob Worsoff, a writer and producer known for Duck Dynasty. Oh, God. Now, if we're going to do a reality TV show, we need to do it like Cops or like Dog the Bounty Hunter, where you're going after illegals, then you're putting them on a plane to El Salvador or Libya or anywhere but here. That would be entertaining. Do an episode of Cops. Or how many different shows are there these days of law enforcement going after people? But having a show like that where Christy Noem's guys and gals go after and arrest illegals and put them on a plane to Africa or something, put them on a plane to nowhere, you know, like you follow their path all the way to the boot camps of Libya or wherever, El Salvador, that would be a hit show. It'd be like a supersized Cops episode, supersized Dog the Bounty Hunter episode, where you're going after illegals and throwing them out of America. That's much more entertaining. But from someone like Worsoff, you know, he wants to keep him in the country. I'm guessing he's got to be Jewish or something. Worsoff? I don't know. Not necessarily a Jewish name. There's a lot of white guys that are this cheesy too, but, you know. Still think machine gun turrets and bombs would be fine. Well, that's the low-cost way. We could do machine gun turrets. And bombs can be messy. Machine gun turrets could be very, very effective. Large crocodiles, large alligators, large schools of piranhas. But what's wrong with all of the above? It's low cost. It's all low cost defense. Ghost Dog Man, I'm all for drones if they strictly for the borders. When drones would get really ugly very quickly, but that could be effective. Typically, if you're under invasion, you deploy the drones first. The eye in the sky. Christy Noem eyes $50 million for new DHS jet. These people and their jets. Trump and his $400 million jet. $50 million for a Gulfstream 5 for Secretary Noem's personal travel. Coming from the Coast Guard budget. Excuse me. Oh, my God. Holy cow. She's always flying around. She's always got these photo ops. I didn't know Department of Homeland Security had to fly so much they need a $50 million Gulfstream. Now, Trump's got that free plane from Qatar that they want to give the president. And then once he's done with it, it'll go to the library, fly around this big, gaudy jet because Air Force One isn't prestigious enough for him. Noem thinks she'll be able to keep it once the term ends. Probably. I don't know how many jets our government owns. It's a good question. I just don't know how many government jets like the CIA owns, the State Department. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I only know of like Air Force One and Air Force Two and that type of thing. Kitchens closed to avoid ice at Steve Smith's Broadway bars. This is funny. Kid Rock's diner had to close because of they're afraid of ice raids. Where's this at? This is in Nashville. They're afraid of ice raids in Nashville. So they're having to close things early because they have so many illegals working there. Oh, man. It's time for robots, guys. It's time for robots. We'll come back to this. This is kind of funny. The trolling of Matt Walsh over swastikas. But let me take a break for a couple minutes. I'll be back. We'll do a small intermission. I appreciate the support. And we got a lot more show to go. Hopefully you guys are doing okay out there on this warm Friday evening. Cheers. Go get yourself a drink. Pop some popcorn, whatever it is. I'll be back in a couple minutes here. Okay, we're back. Well, you guys are doing okay out there. I've been in the middle of some bullshit outrage cycles in my day. But one that some of you cooked up this week is probably the fakest of all. There are even conservatives hounding me and demanding that I apologize for a hidden swastika that someone else posted in a tweet that I replied to. Just to be perfectly clear to all the slimy little smear merchants playing this game, I apologize for nothing. I owe you nothing. I will not explain myself to you. You all know exactly what you're doing. If anyone has owed an apology in this situation, it's me. But I don't expect one, because that would require a level of honor and honesty that none of you trolls possess. Piss off, all of you. That's my statement for the many who have asked. Now, this is it right here. They're saying there's a hidden swastika in this image. And they were trolling him over a hidden swastika. Like, these big conservative names supposedly believed that there's a hidden swastika and that Matt Walsh was signaling all the neo-Nazis out there. Seriously, look at this. How do you even dream this shit up? Oh, how do you dream this shit up? It's funny stuff. He replies to this and then gets trolled over it. So, I don't know. This is at the top of the right wing, though. The only correct response is to gaslight your critics into thinking they are imagining the swastika. There's no hidden image. Those people are seeing things. Nazis would never do that to you, Matt. That's a ferryman's toll. Claims of anti-Semitism often mean that certain Jews and Zionists want you to shut the fuck up. Let's read the signs. It's a semagogue. Whether or not you dislike or hate them has literally nothing to do with it. Oh, man. Never apologize. Yeah, there you go. It's kind of funny, though, that they would actually see that. I guess if it's backed up a ways, you can kind of see it. Up close, you can't. But as it's backed up, supposedly, you can kind of see a swastika in there. I see what they're looking at, but it's just funny. Who gives a shit? The idea of this is at the top of right-wing circles is just funny. This type of stuff that would be like, I don't know, be a threat on Stormfront. Not anymore. Oh, man. David Smith, Douglas Murray debate. So Tucker Carlson had to weigh in on this. Now, this is at the heart of Jordan Peterson, Douglas Murray, and these fake right. Well, we could say they're probably all fake right wing as of right now. I mean, I guess if Odin Spear runs across the planet wiping out all the non-Aryans or whatever, and these guys are left, we'd have to deal with them at that time. But until then, you know, I don't know what Tucker's up to. He doesn't seem like the Antichrist to me. You know, a lot of these guys have made profound changes, so profound that we have to question it. But nothing's impossible for certain reasons, for various different reasons, especially with the growth of alternative media, Ben Shapiro's identity politics, neocons attacking the Trump administration. I'm going to listen to this and maybe put some of it aside for Sunday to see what's up, to see if anything in there is worth playing. He also did another interview I was looking at, but, you know, Tucker may actually have on someone of interest that may say something interesting. The deep state's economic model was really about foreign policy. Well, hold
it
on.
It did on, you know, I mean, it kind of wrecked Ross Perot's life, wrecked Pappy Cannon's life. Like,
I have a clip coming up here in a bit that is basically on the petrodollar too, and the person being interviewed by Steve Bannon was actually there when they engineered petrodollar number one. So this is kind of interesting interview. I want to hear what he has to say about foreign policy and being intertwined with economic policy.
Why were the stakes so high on this one question?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you.
Hold on. Let's back up. The most important products the U.S. should focus on manufacturing. Well, let's dial
whether
back.
We care and whether we're going to do it.
So
I don't even know who this guy is, Orrin Cass. Should I know who this is?
You know, we can't make everything. What should we make? So if you were in charge of reshoring manufacturing to the United States, what would be the industries that would get priority?
So I think there are a few that you really give priority to because they have some kind of unique strategic value, either for defense purposes or because of the way supply chains grow up around them. And so chips is a great example of this. Critical minerals, you mentioned the magnet, is a great example of this. I think batteries, whether it's for electric vehicles, for electric grid generally, for all sorts of uses, is probably one of these things. And so there are a few particular things you want to identify and say, we have to have this. And that's where I would use what's called industrial policy, right? You literally say, we've decided this industry is important, and government, you know, people call this picking winners and losers. It's not picking this company wins.
So what smart governments do, like the Chinese.
This company loses, but it's picking, we actually have a point of view as a country that we want this thing. Beyond that, one of the things that's so great about tariffs, it's funny, I'm having a lot of fights about people with this right now, because in my view, tariffs are actually the free market approach. A tariff, it can be a very broad-based policy. You're not picking a particular industry. You're just saying, look, we are going to give an advantage to things made domestically. So whichever things make, relatively speaking, the most sense to make domestically will come back. The things that, relatively speaking, make the least sense to make domestically will stay elsewhere. We don't have to tell people what to invest in. We can just tell people, all things equal, we're giving a 10% advantage to making things here. Now go. And I think that creates a much healthier economic system.
All right. So he wants free market tariffs. I don't know where. I think he's trying to sell that shit. But let's see here. Deep state economic model was really about foreign policy. It was about Israel.
It kind of wrecked Ross Perot's life, wrecked Pat Buchanan's life. Like, why were the stakes so high on this one question?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my theory for it, because I've tried to go back and find, like, where did these economic arguments come from when they're clearly just not true? And as best I can tell, what happened, particularly after World War II, and this was in this, you know, era where people kind of were rightfully saying, you know, never again, obviously about the Holocaust, more broadly about World War II, we can never go back to that kind of conflict. And you have the United Nations, you have,
of course,
all of these sorts of, right, like that is everybody's focus. And that is when the arguments about free trade actually start to emerge. And they emerge not actually primarily as economic arguments. They emerge as a sort of new model of a global world order. And, you know, one thing people looked at,
now you're getting to the heart of it.
Well, you know, one thing is people look at, you know, what happened after World War One, the way Germany had been treated, the idea that, you know, sort of holding them down rather than supporting them helps lead to World War Two.
Okay, this could be interesting. Could have some clips here, but I kind of like was just looking at this after the fact. I wanted to get on with the show. I'll look at it for Sunday and see if something's interesting in there. It's kind of out of place. Out of place with the flow of the show. Keep pulling up some stuff. I do have economic news coming up, though. Something out of Goldman Sachs actually surprised me, because it goes against, generally speaking, seasonal tendencies for the stock market. So I got that coming up. I got some stuff about Iran, President Trump, and his, you know, he's visiting the Middle East and whatnot. This is funny. Now, keep in mind, I don't have it up. Hold on. Keep in mind these rabbis. South Africa's chief rabbi rejects refugee program for Afrikaners. Yeah. The Jews need a public relations department run by Gentiles, I think. They're just not going to survive. Representative Jarrett Moskowitz says Jewish students shouldn't worry about anti-Israel student protesters because they won't be working at Wall Street, where Jewish hedge fund managers have demanded they be blacklisted and living in tents. Okay, hold on. These guys we got a bunch of yarmulkes here. We got Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, Rabbi Phil Moskowitz, and Congressman Jared Moskowitz, who is, of course, Jewish.
Look, I would tell those college kids, and that's why I went to Columbia on Passover, to show those college kids not to be afraid, walk to the class. If they're assaulted, report it. Obviously, that's a crime. It should be investigated. But otherwise, you know, do not, in my opinion, do not give them an inch. Not an inch of solitude that they've silenced you, right? Don't, if you used to wear a Jewish star and now you're hiding it, don't do that. Don't let them see that. That lets them know that this is, they're winning. They're going to continue to do this. They're making progress. That's what they want. They want us to go back into hiding. They want you to take off your yarmulke if you wear one. And so I know that's hard to tell a 20-year-old.
They want you to take off the yarmulke? I know. I like it when they wear it. I think it's good.
You know, these idiots are yelling at them. Look, these folks are sheep. They're lemmings. They've been brainwashed. Okay? You know, just go do your thing. Get to your class. Focus on your studies. Forget them. Okay? They won't be working.
Now, this is information liberation, just so you guys know. Let me take my head out of the way so you can see that this is his Twitter. I grabbed it from Chris Menahan's Twitter.
On Wall Street or in or at a Fortune 500 company with the way they'll be going. They'll be the next, you know, Occupy Wall Street group living in tents. You know, and so, you know, that's what I would tell
them. They're all brainwashed with the fact that we don't have any power. But when we find out your name, we're going to make sure you're broken, living in a tent and can't get a job anywhere because we don't have any power.
A Jewish kid, let them know that there are people behind them. You know, don't get yourself into trouble. You don't have to instigate, right? Don't get yourself in a situation that could cause you harm. But you don't have to be afraid. You have a lot of allies who are coming to help you. And so, you know, I'm Jewish. I'm proud of being Jewish. And, you know, I want to make sure my kids understand that also, but understand the reality that they're growing up in now. It's not the reality I grew up in the 90s. It's dramatically changed. And they're going to run into people that are going to say stuff, and they're going to read stuff on social media, and they need to understand. Or they're going to see Kanye, you know, coming out with a song called Heil Hitler, you know. And so I think right now the two most important things is Jewish culture, Jewish identity, and making sure we pass that down and continue that. Because, you know, obviously, you know, there's less and less of us. And, you know, where are the problems with everything, right? We barely exist in the global population, but somehow we're the bane.
It's like this congressman is going out of his way to give one last speech to the rabbis that they want to hear. This is just stuff they want to hear. Let's tell them what they want to hear. What is this? We'll see if this is any different. He ran two different clips from this particular meeting. Let's see if there's an overlap, if there's any difference here. It's fascinating for people to hear this. This is a congressman talking to two rabbis, and it's just, you know, straightforward conversation. I'm going to make sure you don't have a job because you believe all these brainwashed stereotypes about Jews being evil. You know, we wreck people's lives, and if you believe that and actually say it, we're going to wreck your life to prove that we don't have any power, I guess. It's just, I don't know. This stuff gets so much play these days.
The situation on the left is much bigger than we think it is. It's big, okay? It is rooted in being anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, okay? There's no doubt about it. You know, we've lost a lot of young kids because
they're worried about the left wingers. All right,
TikTok and what the Nothing Chinese new. And the Russians and the Iranians have fed the propaganda online. They've been fed this lie that there's a genocide going on, right? That Israel's an apartheid state. All of these racial, you know, all this racial language that they've been taught about what other countries have done, you know, and they're teaching kids through that vein. So the next crop of candidates you're going to see on the left are mostly going to be anti-Israel. And so as these more senior members are retiring or not running for re-election, I'm concerned about who's going to come behind that. So there is a major problem on the left. No question about it. I will not downplay it. Okay. We have to try to control its spread. At the same time, I will tell you the problem on the right is being downplayed. Okay. People think, oh, no, there isn't this. No, the right is very pro-Israel. I will tell you that the J.D. Vance wing of the party wants to cut off all aid to Israel. They're against all foreign aid, and they don't exempt Israel from that.
So he is worried about the right.
Are also softer on Iran. You're seeing that now.
Yeah, this is a congressman talking to two rabbis.
With, you know, Witkoff and Vance with trying to figure out how to appease Iran. This is the time to put maximum pressure on Iran. Look, I didn't vote for Trump, okay? I'm not a Trump supporter, but I had thought that when he had come in, we were going to see Trump be tougher on Iran than he would be on Greenland, tougher on Iran than he would be on Canada, okay? and yet we're negotiating. Well, what's to negotiate? They either dismantle their nuclear program or we should do it for them. Those are the choices, and that's how Trump talks. And yet we're not seeing that. We're seeing, you know, maybe there's a deal, and that is this wing of the MAGA movement that, you know, wants to be an isolationist, wants to withdraw from the world. And every time we withdraw from the world, China comes in with their friend Russia. And so, look, this is not just about Israel. A nuclear Iran would destabilize the Middle East. It would be a threat to the United States. We can't just withdraw and say, oh, there's a...
You know, the conversation was heading all the way from... all the way from right and left wing anti-Semitism to Iran. They just had to work in Iran.
Big, beautiful ocean between us, okay? It was a mistake to allow a nuclear North Korea, let alone a nuclear Iran in the most dangerous neighborhood in the world. It would be existential for Israel. And once it happens, it can't go back. And the Saudis are going to want nuclear weapons, right? And then we're going to have this rush to nuclear weapons in the area. And so, look, I'm right now, it seems like I'm to the right of the Trump administration on what to do with Iran.
Let's see if he's got any more of these. Well,
the situation on the left is much bigger than...
All right. So the left is lost, according to him, and the right is on its way out the door because... Even the J.D. Vance wing wants to get rid of all foreign aid, and that means Israel would be effectively cut off. One to watch. We don't have any power, but since you pissed us off, we're going to ruin your life. Threatening these kids at Columbia. And you brainwash kids believing these stereotypes. We run everything. And we're going to prove you wrong by destroying you, destroying your life. Just can't help it. They just can't help it. Eloy Adrian Carmelo arrested. He's only 17 years old, arrested in shooting death of InfoWars reporter Jamie White. Wow, look at that little goony kid. He's only 17, this Mexican. Eloy Adrian Carmelo, 17 years old. Wow. Jamie White died at the hands of this... is he legal? I don't know. Hold on here. Let's get Alex.
...Austinite, who appears to be an American... Eloy Camarillo, 17-year-old Austinite, who appears to be an American citizen...
It's a sad-looking American.
We're checking his background right now. ...was arrested and booked in to the Travis County Jail on May 1st and charged with capital murder in the terror-style murder, that's the coding of it, of InfoWars reporter Jamie White. Reportedly, in the affidavit, he is the accomplice of three others that are still at large. And I want to commend the Austin Police Department for the police investigation they've done. The local news just broke the information and has how they used geolocation from a cell phone and witnesses and other investigations they were doing to be able to track this down. Again, Jamie was killed execution style, one bullet through the...
What's up, Ghost Dog Man? Cheers, man.
Through the back of the neck. My prayers go out to Jamie's family, his dad, his sister, and others, just amazing people. And we're obviously going to be looking to see if the Soros DA, Jose Garza, who will let people out of jail who shoot three or four people in one night, like the next day, with no bond. So I'm quite frankly surprised that he didn't release this guy with no bond. That's what he normally does, but... I'm guessing he's probably got a big, long rap sheet, at least a juvenile one. So this is obviously what looks like a really bad guy off the street. It doesn't make it any better for Jamie's family or for the InfoWars family, but there you go. You know, we had to ask, was he killed by Ukrainians? He's on the Ukrainian hit list. But from day one, I said it was probably part of the crime wave we've seen here in Austin because they cut the police by almost half and just let criminals out, and they just think it's a free-for-all. So that was my first approximation. He is innocent until proven guilty, but we'll put the report up here, obviously, on screen for you. And again, pray for Jamie White's family. And we will continue to track this story as it unfolds. But even with their budget massively cut and the crime wave, the Austin Police Department overall has done a very good job. I may have missed calls from detectives or something, but I check most of my messages. I missed some. I never got a call about this. Surprising he's been in jail this long. and we're just now learning about it, but it shows how this violence all over the country has just become too common, and just the disrespect for life by these criminals, and then just by all of us getting numb is really, really frightening. God bless you, Jamie. We love you. You live forever. We really care about your family and you, and thank everybody for the support and outpouring of concern by everybody out there. We love you.
Okay, so he's a U.S. citizen. Too bad. It'd be nice if you threw him out. Let's see here. Is that Tuver's kid? I guess you're talking about White Tuver? I don't know. Does that look like Tuver? A little dark to be Tuver. I don't know. I've never seen his kids, I don't think. It's a good question, I guess. Is it ripping on Tuver now in the chat? It's moving to Tuver. Ghost Dog Man, cheers. Yeah, all my homies hate paintball Nazis. This is the comedy article of the week. Anti-Semitism scandal tears through paintball community. Pro player Marcelo Margot. I didn't know there was pro paintball. Paintball pros? Posted a video showing paintball gun that had Nazi insignia. Holy shit. By Hannah Fuhrer. No pun intended. The Jewish Daily Forward caught this one. All my homies hate paintball Nazis. Wow. Paintball players typically take to online forums to discuss game tactics and compare gear. But this week, the niche subreddit, rpaintball, was overtaken by Discord about a different subject of moral outrage, Nazi hate symbols. The controversy started when Marcelo Margot, a paintball world champion and author of Paintball IQ, posted an Instagram story last week displaying his trainee Dan Blazarian's vast collection of paintball equipment. All right, Dan Blazarian's on his team. Astute viewers noticed a paintball gun decorated with Nazi insignia, including Nazi eagle, SS bolts, and Celtic cross. So Dan Blazarian's sporting all kinds of Nazi memorabilia. The reaction was swift. The National Paintball League, known as the NXL, created a new rule prohibiting displaying offensive, inappropriate, or discriminatory content during any NXL-sanctioned event. Damn! And Margot, who played for the professional paintball team Edmonton Impact, was kicked off his team's roster just for showing a picture of his trainee Dan Blazarian's vast collection of paintball equipment, and one of the guns contained... Wow. Let's look if we can see Dan Blazarian... Blazarian paintball Nazi. I don't know. Guys, I want to see. All right, Dan Blazarian paintball Nazi. Oh, man, so this guy got handed his head. What's up, Mr. Ken 87? Appreciate the support. This guy got handed his head and his ass just for putting up a pic of this, of all this paintball regalia, memorabilia, equipment, and one of them had a quote-unquote Celtic cross, a Nazi eagle, and SS bolts. And that's like mild stuff. That's not even a swastika. It's a Nazi eagle, SS bolts, and a Celtic cross. Got himself a new rule. In a statement posted to Instagram... See if I can pull this up, maybe. Margot wrote that he did not notice, I don't know if I'm butchering the guy's name, M-A-R-G-O-T-T, wrote that he did not notice the paintball gun in the video until it was pointed out to him the next day. I do not condone any symbol of hate, period. He believes in having friends with different worldviews. Well, good for him. Margot did not comment, did not commit to stop coaching Blazarian, a poker player turned social media influencer, plays for the Las Vegas paintball team Protocol. Shit, I didn't know paintball was that big. Blazarian has come under fire for anti-Semitism. Oh, no. But the SS-themed paintball gun seemed to have triggered a new level of outrage and satire across paintball players and social media. Many condemned the hate symbols and poked fun at the idea of battling real-life Nazi on a paintball field. F paintball Nazis. All my homies have paintball Nazis. Hate paintball Nazis. Oh, God. The amount of support has just been astonishing. Definitely didn't have the paintball community rallies around the Jews on 2025 bingo card. Well, it's probably because it's an all-white sport and they're in an all-white situation. Oh, I can't get to his... No. Okay. They took down. Okay, so we don't have the photo up here. I'm trying to see the photo where he has Dan Bilzerian and all the paintball. Okay, so this is like a pro paintballer. This is a big deal. I didn't even know it was that far. Oh, man. The last bastion that hasn't embraced their whiteness. The paintballers. They're so suburban and utopian that they react to a Celtic cross, a German eagle, and SS bolts. I'm guessing if it wasn't Dan Bilzerian, they probably wouldn't do anything. I don't know. I just don't know enough about paintball. I didn't know there was pro paintball leagues. I mean, I'm looking at a picture. It's just nothing but white people. The paintball waffen, and reality always reasserts itself. I think they should have mandatory affirmative action since they all hate Nazis. They should have affirmative action. They should mandatory. You bring in all, like, let's say, so many gangbangers from Chicago, L.A., and put them in the paintball pros. After all, those kids can shoot sideways, but they can shoot. I wonder how this would end up. I think they need to be educated the old-fashioned way. Speaking of educated the old-fashioned way, we got some intriguing clips coming up. Check your email, paintball. Oh, shit. Aaron White, you know something about paintball? Global chat's red-pilling someone? Uh-oh, look out. Global chat's full of info. How a head of state should be greeted. This is Trump in the Middle East. Now, you guys might remember all the particular Abraham Accords, the top of the Sunni Islam, and the Arab Street rumors, which go back decades and decades, that they're all Middle Eastern Jews. Well, it's an Old Testament religion. Wow, this is wild. All right, we've got these Arabic women twisting their heads around with long, super long hair. I don't know what this is about. I didn't think they were allowed to show their hair. Okay, it's kind of impressive, I guess. I don't know. He calls them handsome, attractive, and tough. Trump's bromance with Arab leaders. So he didn't stop at Israel. He's upset at Netanyahu. Now, I don't think it has anything to do with Israel. It has to do with Netanyahu. Unless Kissinger was telling us something when he said by the year 2030 or whatever, there would be no such thing as Israel. Wasn't it something like that? I thought he was just bullshitting, but something's going on here. So you got European Jewry and you got Middle Eastern Jewry. We don't know anything about Middle Eastern Jewry, other than the rumor is that they're running. The Iranians believe that the whole entire Abraham Accord was between Jews and Israel and all the Jews running Sunni Islam. I don't know. Just giving you guys the facts. See, he calls them handsome, attractive, and tough. Trump's bromance with the Arab world. President uses Middle East to strengthen ties with the Arab world. Well, the Arab world's a lot bigger, a lot more dynamic. I mean, Israel historically was ran by the Egypt. That particular era was run by Egypt. We're talking in ancient times. Trump visits Abu Dhabi's Abrahamic family house, what he wrote on the guest book. Now, this is a significant point, and Global Chat was asking me about this because I've spoken about this. You remember when the Pope was visiting there, signing Qurans, and he had clerics visiting him, and a lot of people were upset over that. There's this, like, interfaith thing called Chislam. And Chislam is, like, the combination of Christianity and Islam, and I guess in some ways Judaism, or aligning these underneath Judaism. Noahide laws, so on and so forth. There's a handful of different variations, but it's called Chislams. And look it up. It's a thing. Chislam. Christianity and Islam. Abu Dhabi's Abrahamic family house. Now, this is the Abraham Accord, and this is what the Abrahamic family house is. All right, let me take you through here. And we're going to get a first look at this. The houses of worship, okay? So in Abu Dhabi, you have, like, this whole entire ideal of Chislam, bringing together, there's Judaism, there's Islam, there's Christianity, bringing together these particular religions. one ring to rule them all, and in the darkness bind them. Yeah, exactly. Eminence Ahmed El Tayyib Mosque. And so this is this houses of worship, this particular ordeal, okay? This is the mosque part where it looks kind of like a mosque. They're all squares, which I find fascinating. I wonder if they're the same dimensions as Solomon's fabled temple. So we have these three cubes. This is the actual, hold on, you can see that. Yeah, you can see that quite clearly at the right. That is the Islamic one. It does look Islamic. It's got the large columns inverted. They kind of look like rockets. Okay, and then you have St. Francis Church. And this is the church, which is kind of striking, but it's a square with pillars across the front, little skinny pillars. And it has a large column with a cross. All right, let's see here. We got mass and prayer timings. Wow. Okay, there's a lot. There's a lot here. Okay, so we've got that. And the mosque, I would think, would be, well, the mosque is obviously a little bit busier than the others. And then you have the Moses ben Maimon synagogue. Okay, these are all together, right? And I can't really see anything but the outside. We're going to watch a video. But this is where Trump was visiting. It's the heart of this ideal of Chislam. It's one of these particular sites. I don't know how many more there are, but this is the most famous one. It's supposed to be the most beautiful one. And they're bringing the big three religions together and creating one religion for us. And if you don't accept it, I don't know what happens. I don't know what will happen to me. But this is the Jewish synagogue, which looks a lot better than the other synagogues. I mean, so you've got these three different places. You can see them up here. You've got the Christian one on the left. You can see part of the Arabic one on the right. And then you've got that Jewish one. The Christian one has a column straight down. The Arabic one has the rounded, the more Arabic looking. And then the Jewish one kind of looks like, I guess, modern art. But they're all these squares. And my question has always been, are these squares at the same dimension of the fabled Solomon's Temple? But here we go. Let's watch a video and a walkthrough. It's only a couple minutes long, those of you that have questions or will have questions. I can only tell you Chislam is a thing. It's at the very, very highest levels of the Vatican, Islam, and Judaism. And there you go. It's a world religion. Get my cursor out of the way, sorry. Looks like no expense was spared on construction.
Non-Muslim with the respectful clothing.
This is Gulf News.
Can come enter the mosque and enjoy while being quiet and respectful to the visitor. And the same is for the synagogue and the church.
Okay, so you don't have to be Christian, Jewish, or Muslim to visit any particular ordeal. They just ask that you have respectful dress on, which I guess is kind of common sense if you're going to church. And you can go in the mosque and visit. You can go in the synagogue or the particular Christian church.
All the doors are open.
Yeah, no expense to spare. I've seen a lot of uglier buildings, but the idea that they were in these cubes, I find fascinating. The stream keeps stopping, and Rumble works like shit. I'm not having any problems on my end. I'm not having any problems on my end, but I'll give you another link. Here's another link, guys. You can watch it on Entropy. Entropy sometimes works better for people. There are people over there watching. A handful. What's up, Entropy? They don't say much in the chat. Well, sometimes they do. Not saying much today, though. Okay, this is the mosque. Oh, it's got a lot of work in between those columns. Okay. It's like a corporate campus. Yeah, it does. okay, this is the church. Let's check out the inside of the church. The inside of a church does look like a church. I've never been inside a mosque, so I don't know, but it looks to be nice on the inside, all these do. This reminds me of like a small chapel you'd see at a hospital or something, although this is more expansive and it has some giant thing overhead. What is that? It's crazy. It's got pews. This is a Baptist room. Okay, this is the synagogue. I've never been in a synagogue, so I don't know, but this looks to be pretty extravagant. Okay, the synagogue has a place where you wash your hands coming in? Okay. All right. I don't know if this compares to inside of other synagogues. You have all these particular pews. Look at all that weird overhead shit. What is that? You know there's some kind of, like, symbolism going on here that we're just missing. Aunt Sally, I'm a Christian, in no way would I want to go near that place. Well, the idea of these places, they're all cubes, but they're slightly different, you know, and they're all, it's Chislam. Oh, here's the mikvah at the synagogue. I mean, it looks a lot nicer than the synagogues I've seen. The church, where there's some gorgeous churches on the planet. Some square cube in the Middle East is not going to compare to any of the churches. I mean, we've got some stunning churches near me. But I don't know about this. The synagogue may top the charts for all I know. This is the bathhouse. It looks like they use some very high-end marble or stone on the outside of all these buildings. I mean, it looks like an expensive build. All right, this is the Jewish ritual bath. Okay. I don't know. There you go. There's your interfaith. This is like one of the things they're doing. I don't know if they're doing more of these. I don't know how many of these there are, but this is the one Trump visited, and this is the most famous one. It's a lot of marble. Yeah, it looks like it's a building with some type of marble tile on top of them. But I would imagine these places, these countries are run by trillionaires. Technically, who like can buy anything they want, and they just don't buy like one $400 million jet. They buy a handful of them. They just don't give a shit about money. And there's all kinds of things when you get into the top of Islam or even the top of Catholicism that most people don't really realize. Now, the Catholic Church operates differently, but at the same time, it's got a lot of power and influence you don't know about, and they're into all kinds of things you just wouldn't guess. Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope. Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope in Graham County, Arizona. Yes. This is the Alice P. Lennon Telescope, and it's Thomas J. Bannon Astrophysics. Is it Gregorian Telescope observing the optical and infrared situation of Mount Graham in southeast Arizona? The Vatican's very much interested in this type of thing. Mm-hmm. The government of Vatican City supports the Vatican Observatory staff and regular research costs, but the cost to build and maintain VAT itself came from private donors. Now, Vatican's very much interested in space, astronomy. You wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know they had a giant observatory, very advanced, over there in Arizona. And there's all kinds of little nuggets like that out there when it comes to religion. Top Iranian official says Tehran would forgo highly enriched uranium in a nuclear deal with Trump. I have a feeling it may not matter if Trump cuts a nuclear deal or not. Israel may attack. Maybe this is something Washington knows, and I'm being very speculative here. But it has occurred to me and many others that what if an Israeli attack was going to happen no matter what? What if there was going to be a disaster? Why wouldn't the United States want to get ahead of that and isolate itself from that? I'm guessing they would if they could. We assume that Jewish power in America is to such an extent that Washington would have to involve itself. But here's something else. The French and the United Kingdom, the UK, you know, would want access to Iranian oil as well. So they might want something to go on there themselves. There's other parties involved besides America with Israel and vice versa. But that may have something to do with Trump dealing with the Arabs and concentrating on the Arabs, at least from a visual appeal, after his big fight with Netanyahu. Netanyahu fights with everyone. So not getting along with Netanyahu has nothing to do with America and Israel, but maybe there's something going on here we don't know about regarding Israel and Iran and some type of inevitability that the United States wants to bow out of the way of. Beforehand. But here's the thing. All these Sunni leaders in these Sunni countries, like the Qataris and so on and so forth, they're skeptical of Iran as well. Iran is Shia Islam. Half of the Middle East is Shia Islam. Half of the Middle East is Sunni. On the global stage, Shia Islam only makes up at best 15-20%, depending on who's doing the math. So in the Middle East, there is some concern from these countries. We don't know what they're doing, obviously. We can only guess and speculate. But the United States may be getting ahead of some kind of disaster that Israel's going to cause that they're going to denounce. They know more than we do. And none of Iran's nuclear facilities will be dismantled. Well, they're entitled to peaceful nuclear energy. That's for sure. 100% for sure. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And let's get to some other news. We got the petrodollar 2.0. We got Goldman Sachs talking about the summer. It's kind of an interesting statement from them regarding the summer rally in stocks. Everything's rallying, actually. Crypto's rallying. It's like the twilight of the gods, the golden age of America. It's what they're announcing, Trump's and new golden age. On stuff on gene editing. It's white baby that was gene editing. Let's check some of the stuff out. Here we go. Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama, welcomes Italy's Meloni, kneeling before her. He's kneeling before her. This guy has on white sneakers. That's what kind of threw me off about this character. Look at this red carpet. Oh, she's calling him Eddie.
He only does it to be tall as me.
He's got on white sneakers. You don't see that often at the presidential level. Is that the Lucifer telescope? I don't know. Maloney, we're going to be fair. Trump will set tariff rates for other nations in weeks. Oh, all right. He's boarding the plane. We'll see what he has to say.
We just reached a fantastic trade deal, as you know, with the United Kingdom, which was...
He looks half asleep in all these speeches over there.
Wonderful, and we have another big one that we just reached with China. The China deal is a very big deal. It's in the process of continuing to be formed. But they wanted to make that deal very badly. And we have, at the same time, 150 countries that want to make a deal, but you're not able to see that many countries. So at a certain point over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I think Scott and Howard will be sending letters out, essentially telling people, it would be very fair, but we'll be telling people what they'll be paying to do business in the United States. So essentially be paying to be doing business in the United States. I guess you could say they could appeal it.
He looks pretty tired, pretty low energy.
But for the most part, I think we're going to be very fair. But it's not possible to meet the number of people that want to see us. And but this was coming to UAE was very important. Coming to Saudi Arabia and Qatar was very important to me because of personal relationships that I had, maybe more than anything else.
Okay, personal relationships. Chislam. I wonder what his statement on Chislam is. I'm guessing he's all for it. China seeks a united front with Latin America in countering Trump's trade war. I'm curious to see how these 150 trade deals, how all these things work out and shake out. It may work out quite well. The stock market is acting like it's going to be A-okay. Something's got to go wrong, though, eventually. Ricard's demand and Petrodollar 2.0 is coming. This is fascinating here. Let's check this out. Let me play some of this for you. This is pretty good.
Jim Brickridge joins us. Jim, I got a lot of questions after Biggs's discussion here, but I want to go back to capital investment leads to jobs. Why is...
Now, Rickards, he was there, and I'm not an expert on him, but he was there at Petrodollar. When the Petrodollar was first formulated, he was there. He's like one of the dudes in the room.
The President of the United States being feted like a royalty in the even more so than looks like a traditional president in the Middle East right now in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, sir?
Well, it's a two-way relationship, Steve. Of course, they're feted, and you know, if MSNBC wants to say they're sucking up to him, whatever, it's just a sign of respect. I would leave it at that. But it's a two-way relationship. It's a good time to remember the Petrodollar Accord, which is still in place. It was put in place in 1974, but it's still active today. And I was actually part of the team that put that together. We had a carrot and stick approach. So the carrot was Bill Simon, who was Secretary of the Treasury, and Jerry Parsky, and they went to the Saudis and they said, look, everybody in the world needs oil. So if you price...
This is pretty wild. Listen to what he says.
...oil in dollars, everybody needs dollars because they got to buy the oil. And that basically underpins the role of the dollars, the global reserve currency. There's more to it, but that's the key thing. And by the way, Saudis, when you get your dollars for the oil, deposit them in U.S. banks. There was tax council of the Citibank, actually, and the banks will lend it to South America, and they'll buy our stuff. We'll get the whole economy out of the ditch, which it was in 1974. So that was the carrot, but there was a stick. And I worked with Helmut Sonnenfeld, who was the deputy national security advisor in the White House under Henry Kissinger. And the stick was, if you don't do it, we're going to invade Saudi Arabia, not the whole place, it's mostly sand, but the eastern provinces, take over the oil production. We will produce as much as we want. We will price it wherever we want. We'll hold the money in trust for the Saudi people. But basically, we're going to run the oil market combined with U.S. oil production.
Slow down.
And so the guy running the State Department, one of these particular Jewish fellows, said, we're going to invade Saudi Arabia and take all the oil for ourselves if you don't do what we tell you with the petrodollar.
Now, slow down. Hold, full stop. Full stop. This is, by the way, I'm going to have Ed Luce on later in the week about the new book, Zbig, about Dr. Brzezinski as the national security advisor. It's amazing. It's like Shakespearean for half of it between Kissinger and Brzezinski. But hit me, what we threatened to do, when was this? We threatened to do what?
This was 1974. So the carrot was price it in dollars. Everybody needs oil, therefore everybody needs dollars. And we'll give you a security umbrella as well. That was the carrot. That was the approach. That's what happened.
But hold it. Rickards, we had just screwed these guys. Hadn't we just gone off the gold standard? And this is the Arab oil embargo, all is because of this, because they realize, hey, they're going to start paying us in, wait for it, fiat currency, sir?
Well, but that was, you're right, Steve, that was 1971, but that was exactly the point, which is, hey, if you're Saudis, why not just pump oil
dump the dollars and buy gold and, you know, put the gold in the vault. How do you get the dollars in circulation? It's not just about the quantity of dollars. It's about the circulation of dollars. And that was the key. Everybody in the world was going to need dollars. You couldn't buy oil and gold. Now, that was a possibility, by the way. The Saudis could have said, hey, give us gold and we'll sell you the oil. They didn't. They said, we'll sell you the oil for dollars. And that was the petrodollar accord. Now, by weight of gold, the dollar dropped 95%. From 1971 to 1980, gold went from $35 an ounce to $800 an ounce. So if you use gold as your yardstick, it was a 95% devaluation of the dollar. And the moral of the story is have some gold. But you also need oil and you also needed dollars. So we took the plan, basically, the invasion plan, we leaked it to the Chicago Tribune, and the Saudis read both sides of the equation, and they said, okay, we'll do the petrodollar accord. But my point is, it's still in place. Now, we may be getting close to petrodollar 2.0, and obviously Scott Bessent's
I want to make sure Steve Bannon understands this. You say it's in place. But the Saudis cut an output deal with the Chinese to take it and, you know, to take the currency risk and figure it out. The Persians did it with the Chinese, not the petrodollar. The Saudis, correct me if I'm wrong, done a 40-year deal with them, not the petrodollar. I think the UAE, our good buddies there, did one with Modi in India, our good buddy there, also not, I mean, away from the petrodollar. Am I wrong there? Haven't you always started seeing the cracks in the system?
Well, you're right, but they are cracks, but that's the point. That's why it's time for petrodollar accord 2.0. Let's get back to where we were, and that's one of the reasons the president is in Saudi Arabia meeting with MBS. So, yeah, but you're right, Steve, but the amount of Chinese yuan that the Saudis took for oil is minuscule relative to the overall market, and they don't want the yuan. Like, what are you going to do with the yuan? I mean, you know, buy some Chinese manufactured goods, fine, they don't even need that many. But this is the Saudis' way, And the Emirates way of signaling the United States, hey, you know, you better get back to being our friend. You better get back to giving us a security umbrella, and you better get back to, you know, maintaining the value of the dollar. And then we'll, you know, as I say, that's why I call it petrodollar 2.0. It does need refreshment. It was never a treaty, by the way. It was a memo, which at least at the time was classified. I think that's ever been revealed. But you don't need a treaty. You just need a firm handshake, and they can trust Trump. But that's one of the reasons he's there. And the idea that, oh, this is just a business trip or whatever, well, yeah, but it's all dollar-based. That's the thing. So the Saudis will still sell oil to the Chinese, but they'll tell the Chinese you have to pay in dollars. That puts the pressure on the Chinese, because how do they get dollars? They sell stuff to the United States. What are the tariffs? Well, they were 150% 2 days ago. Maybe they're 30% for the next 90 days. But this is a very complex game, and the Russians are involved. But the U.S., by strengthening the relationship with Saudi Arabia, going to petrodollar 2.0, puts the pressure on China to basically reduce their tariffs and meet some of Trump's requirements. Otherwise, they don't have a source of dollars.
The geopolitics here, there's actual discussions behind the scenes in Turkey, I think in Istanbul on Thursday. There supposedly is a Zelensky potential Putin meeting. Trump's kind of dropped it. I know people are actually thinking this through, that Trump may actually go by, which would be historic. Walk me through the geopolitics. We've got the.
Okay, we might come back to this on Sunday. What they're saying about the particular sanctions, by the way, the reason I don't buy the particular rally. Things like this, consumer sentiment slides to second lowest on record as inflation expectations jump after tariffs. There's going to be all kinds of cross currents we see for the next so many years. And these tariffs that have slowed down shipments from China are really going to bite sometime in late June to July. June, July, they're really going to bite in theory and in reality, according to the projections I've seen. And as they bite, I think even the Solari report was talking about this, as they bite, it's going to be very difficult to get certain things in the country that people are used to getting. I don't know what specifically. We'll have to see. But I can tell you right now, what they're saying is there's something you want to buy. It's kind of like a bigger purchase that you're waiting to June or July. You might want to buy it now because you might not be able to get it. It may be pretty bad for a while. as they move in manufacturing and start replacing. But we do have companies doing that very aggressively. I don't know how it's going to work out. Well, it will work itself out. It's just a matter of the timeline and what all they have planned. Let's see here. Buy in May and let it play. That's not history. History is sell in May and go away as far as the stock market goes. Come back in the fall because they ain't doing nothing. But they're saying buy in May and let it play. Goldman traders see near-term overshoot in S&P. And you can always get all of Zero Hedge's pay-per-view articles at archive.today. Buy in May and let it play. They're thinking it's going to rally all through the summers. Large CTA, the commodity trading advisor, buying flows, $14 billion projected over the next week and $25 billion over the next month. Oh, wow. Okay. At risk of being labeled a false start, the recent change in tide in the global markets and has a meaningful impact on the investor sentiment. Yeah, it's like if you go to sell it, you get run over. It's like with crypto. The moves have just been outrageous. But it can go a lot higher, especially if the markets accept that they're going to get a new scheme together involving tariffs and a petrodollar too or something. It can go a lot higher until it gets disrupted. And one thing that can always disrupt it is some type of war. They don't like surprises. Markets like certainty, not uncertainty. And war brings a lot of uncertainty. Trump's trade war lit a fire under Yeti coolers. And we've got companies like Yeti coolers. They're onshoring. And their onshoring is like moving from China to Vietnam. They're going to, you know, they're doing certain things in-house in America, but they're moving to manufacturing in Malaysia and Vietnam, which I'm guessing is like going to be a trend of various different manufacturers. Like, okay, we're leaving China, we're going to Vietnam and Malaysia. Now, I don't know if Vietnam and Malaysia are going to negotiate much lower tariffs than China. But we do have a lot of people diversifying, you know. Money velocity today is near zero. That's the largest part of the problem today. Velocity is how many times the dollar is respent. Yeah, there's a lot of challenges as the system enters its late stages and they try to replace it with some type of new system. And what that particular fellow was talking about is basically some gimmick to keep going. To keep the system going. This is pretty wild. Bags of cash from drug cartels flood teller windows at U.S. banks. Chinese money launderers allegedly made six-figure deposits at Chase, Bank of America, and Citibank branches across Los Angeles County. Now, this is what's crazy about this. If you're actually laundering money, this is not what you do. You pulled out stacks of bills and waited while women fed them into a cash counting machine. You left. An officer asked the teller if he had deposited more than $10,000, the threshold requiring banks to flag transactions for federal regulators. More like $100,000, the teller said. By then, you was already on his way to Chase and Bank of America branches in Claremont, 35 miles away. Federal authorities alleged that you worked for an underground banking network that bought dollars at a discount from Mexico's Sinaloa drug cartel and sold them at a premium, largely to Chinese nationals in the U.S. The network allegedly handled $50 million in proceeds from drug trafficking over 4 years. Now, the question is, if you're that sophisticated, why would you bother going to a bank to flag regulators with $100,000 deposits? Why would you do this? We're talking about some of the three largest banks in the world. Chase Bank, right? You got Chase Bank. You have Bank of America and Citibank. He's depositing over $100,000 so regulators can flag it. He knows it's going to get flagged. These guys are sophisticated enough to run some type of long-term deal, laundering money from the Sinaloa cartel to Chinese nationals at a discount, running this dollar game. Why deposit it now? Sending a message to Uncle Sam? He's got to be sending a message to somebody. He knows he's going to get flagged by regulators. Can't be stupid. You're not going to walk in and deposit $100,000 cash from nowhere at a U.S. bank. You're going to have to say, where'd you get that? Oh, I run a lot of car washes. You know, if that's the case, you're going to have a lot of big deposits. But you just don't do things like this. The network allegedly handled some $50 million. Similar money laundering operations operate in plain sight around the U.S., hiding the staggering returns, which are the sole reason. cross-border cartels smuggling fentanyl, methamphetamine, cocaine, and other illegal drugs. More than 80,000 people in the U.S. died from drug overdoses. All right. Chinese money laundering operatives. In some of the cases, dozens of banks at multiple banks. Dozen of bank accounts at multiple banks using counterfeit passports to disguise their identity or recruiting local business owners and students. They charge traffickers 1% to 2% on the dollar, undercutting competitors. North Carolina prosecutors, and that's typically what you would do. You'd have a handful of people that own, let's say, coin-operated and dollar-operated car washes, something volume, car washes, laundromats, small businesses, which the Chinese do have, and you would line up and launder your money through there. You're not going to go and deposit 100 grand to launder anything. In 1 5-month period, the network's money couriers made more than 100 deposits at bank branches in 20 states using accounts created in the name of a sham company. Did they just get too big for their britches? Were they trying something big, or were they sending a message? Well, if the Chinese government had something big going on in America and they were making threats, it could be possible that they just decided to send a message. It could also be possible that these Chinese money laundering schemes got so big for their britches that they just didn't give a fuck. I don't know which it is. I'd venture to say if they're smart enough to run it for that long, maybe the Chinese government, which is probably at the root of this, Chinese intelligence, wanted to send a message. What do you guys think that message is? It's a fascinating article, though. You guys can read it. You got to go to archive.today if you don't want to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. Though bags of cash from drug cartels flood teller windows at U.S. Bank, and try to figure out the angle behind it. Because you got to know you're going to trip off the regulators. That's why you use laundromats and other things like that. You know, piece it out. How the Houthis' rickety air defenses threaten even F-35s. Highly mobile Houthi SAM systems and one that used passive infrared sensors present a vexing problem for even advanced U.S. aircraft. So it sounds like someone got some type of target. They got a system down for targeting even the most advanced planes. It doesn't bode well for future Air Force, for future air battles. Yes. It is unknown what missile or missiles the Houthis fired at the F-35. Other details would allow for a full assessment of that engagement, as well as reported attempted intercepts of the F-16s are yet to emerge. Yeah, the F-35 is designed to get around them, but basically some type of primitive sensor was able to target F-35s. To provide general context, when it comes to F-35, it's at the top of the stealth design. It has electronic warfare suite, on and on it goes. The central aspect of the air defense arsenal the Houthis have been able to cobble together over the past decade or so is the use of infrared sensor for target detection, tracking, and cueing as seekers in the interceptors themselves. The Houthis have stocks of infrared-guided R-73 and R-27 air-to-air missiles repurposed for surface-to-air use, which are referred to locally as Taqib 1s and Taqib 2s. The Yemeni militants also have soccer series infrared homing surface-to-air missiles that have a degree of loitering capabilities. So their missiles are doing a little bit better than anyone expected. Pairing infrared sensors with radar-guided surface-to-air missiles could help them remain hidden by not having to start radiating until very late in the engagement cycle. Yeah, they're trying to figure out how they're doing this. I wonder if the Russian intelligence helped them, the Chinese intelligence. The Chinese have deals with the Iranians, the Russians do. Who helped them cobble this together? They could have done it on their own. Sure. They could have done it on their own, but I have a feeling someone tapped them on the shoulder, maybe the Iranians themselves, maybe the Persians, and say, try this and this. Then all of a sudden they're in business. They're still wreaking havoc. Trump said they're very brave. He cut a deal with them. EU President von der Leyen says Putin does not want peace after absence in Turkey. All right, the big deal is Turkey. Putin and Trump leave Zelensky in the dust, skipping peace talks in Turkey. So both these guys are skipping peace talks in Turkey. And he's there talking to Erdogan, Zelensky. I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll keep reading you the headlines. Macron, Starmer blast unacceptable Russian stance in talks. Zelensky urges more sanctions. Pressure on Russia must be maintained. So they want World War III with Russia or something. They want to put endless pressure on Russia. And I don't know what Russia's game or angle is. I just have not a clue. Russia and Ukraine agreed to future talks, Turkish foreign minister. Okay. I'm just curious if these guys are ever going to show up like Putin and Trump at these talks, or if these talks are ever going to go anywhere, or if the fighting is just going to continue. As of right now, I'd say the fighting is just going to continue. And this, of course, you do have the headlines over there in the UK, and they're going to continue this, whether or not it's true, or what the full explanation is. They're going to always cue it up as Russia wants total war with all of Europe right now. You know, terrifying satellite images show Russian army at Finland's border as World War III fears surge. The surge of World War III fears, Russia's going to invade Finland. I mean, they can't take Ukraine. They certainly aren't going to be able to take Finland. It's a totally different bill of goods. They were talking about the presence of Russian troops and Russian military equipment all at these particular strategic bases on the border of Finland. I don't know what's different now as to what Russia has done historically at these particular bases, which they have refurbished, many of them. I don't know what the Russians expect, and I don't know what the Finns expect. It sounds like the Europeans every day just want total war with Russia. They want nuclear war. What do you guys think? They're going to burn down the planet? Dramatic NATO versus Russia sea clash erupt as warplanes buzz Putin's shadow fleet vessel as it's ordered to stop now. Okay. So we keep going down this particular road of some type of conflict between the NATO countries, which is already technically happening in Ukraine, but a larger conflict involving Russia and Europe. And I'd be curious to know what Donald Trump would do that particular morning. President Trump, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Yeah, it looks like it. Russian economy in worse shape than Moscow says report from EU. Well, you can't trust anything Moscow says. You can't trust anything the EU says. So I don't know. It may be in worse shape. It may be in great shape. I can't imagine it's in amazing shape, but they've pretty much detached themselves from whole elements of their world economy, other than maybe the Chinese. They have their own little economy. I just don't know how they're doing. They can't be doing as... They're definitely surviving. They're not collapsing. They haven't collapsed. This idea that Putin and the place is going to collapse, and that hasn't happened. So it's just another day. You'll see this day in and day out, though. The speculation of the Russians are going to overrun Poland or they're going to overrun Finland. Their economy's going south, and Putin doesn't want this or wants that. I don't think anyone knows. I think they're just projecting a particular narrative, and it's just, you know, I'm only interested in the truth. Chinese weapons pass combat tests to India-Pakistan clash with flying colors. Yeah, Chinese weapons did very good at the clash between Pakistan and India. And, you know, Washington was watching this clash to see how well these Chinese weapons were going to do. And they came out doing very, very well. And between the Chinese weapons doing well against India and the Houthis drawing into some type of fair and square deal with Donald Trump or whatever happened, however you want to read into that, the Defense Department, the DOD, and the Pentagon have their hands full figuring out where they want to go next as far as World War III, which looks to be happening in piecemeal, little skirmishes. Now, whether or not Pakistan will set up and wage some type of nuclear exchange with India and Israel do so with Iran is yet to be seen. But I think Washington would want to exclude itself from all those particular situations and scenarios. Pakistan and India extend ceasefire Islamabad. They didn't even take out a call center, and they already have a ceasefire. U.S. Space Chief warns China, Russia are greatest risks to space defense capabilities. Well, that makes sense. The two people with the biggest space force. Of course, if you look at how many satellites the U.S. has, and satellites are by default They're not just communications. They can be for all kinds of different things. They can be for cross purposes. If you look at how many satellites we have up there, how many China has up there, and how many Russia has up there, it's not even close, guys. How many Europe has up there? It's just not even close to what we have in space. What all they're doing up there, we don't know. They still won't tell us what the X-37B does up there on rotation. Yeah, participants in over 150 countries to attend Moscow Security Conference. This is the BRICS. They're calling it the global majority. Yeah, the global majority against the white race, run by Zionist Jews, Jews and Zionists, Jews, Christian Zionists, all these different anti-white elements running the West, and we got the rest of the world. It's one of those things. Last news piece of the day, a promising genetic treatment tailor-made for a baby born with a rare disorder. It's kind of wild. They're doing targeted genetic treatments. KG Muldoon was born at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia in August, reaches out to doctors after being treated for a rare genetic disorder using CRISPR technology. CRISPR technology. Treating little babies. Fascinating. I appreciate you guys tuning in and enjoy the particular tuning in and supporting the show. I'll be back Sunday, same time, same place. I'm scheduling out interviews. I don't know if I'll have one for Monday, but we should have something the following Monday. I appreciate you guys tuning in and, again, supporting the show. And cheers, guys, and have a very safe weekend. I'll be back Sunday at the same time. Cheers.